Hello and welcome to another Cage Club Revisited. This is Revisited number 37, Trapped in Paradise from 1994.
Hello.
Our original episode that we covered this was episode 25 of Cage Club Prime. So if you want to listen, if you want to listen to our more insightful, do we have a guest on that? I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Mike Manzi.
With us today, while I look this up, let's see here. Trapped in Paradise, no guest. We had no guest for like most of the run. We had no guest because who knew what this would become. With us today, we teased it last time, of the Wistful Thinking podcast, Kara Gail O'Regan. Hello, Kara.
Hey, guys.
We gave you the opportunity between two Christmas movies. Tis the season, after all. It is December as we're recording this, and it is December as we're putting this out, between a better, slower drama, which we just watched, The Family Man, or a sort of a wackier comedy in Trapped in Paradise. And you went with this one. Still an hour and 50 minutes, which feels too long. But we will get into it. Mike, if you want to play it, we're watching the DVD. There is no menu.
Are you ready?
There are no subtitles. We're going to play in 3, 2, 1, play.
Playing.
Go to cageclub.me/games to download the bingo card. And just as a reminder, this episode is meant to be listened to while watching the movie. So if you are hoping to have insightful, thoughtful analysis after the fact, not this podcast.
Not this time around. No, probably not.
What year did this come out?
94, a.k.a. 2 years before Clueless. I feel like the way that you're referring to Black Sheep as... Oh, no, 1 year before Clueless.
Yes.
Because you were saying Black Sheep was 1 year after Clueless. I feel like Clueless is now the before Common era, before Clueless era, and then in the year of our share.
Oh, I agree.
That's going to be them later in the movie.
It truly is.
This is foreshadowing.
Nicholas Cage, this is 1 BC.
Oh, yeah, John Lovitz. That's why I picked this one.
Yeah.
Cage top build. John
Lovitz. So the drama of this movie, so we heard on IMDb, is that the director got so fed up that he, like, walked off set and Cage directed part of this movie.
Oh, wow.
But we asked Mark O'Kiris when we talked to him, and he didn't remember that happening, I don't think. But I think he also, it was something to the effect of, like, I don't doubt that that happened, but I don't remember that happening. Something like that.
So, if he directed part of this, is this a Saturn Films production?
No, unfortunately, this is
prior
before
to all
Saturn
that.
Films.
Yeah, this is we're gonna get
oh,
like, the pickpocket scene.
Oh.
Yeah, Magic Amick.
Is that how you pronounce that?
Magic Amick, I think. Yeah. I don't know. She is.
By the way, I mean by now it's been out, but you guys were recording this before it releases Monday. But crazy Twin Peaks connection in Christmas Vacation.
Really?
That's all I'm going to say. Just tune in. It blew
Twin Peaks connection and Clueless, I realized, watching it.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. But Magic Amick, my early 90s Shelley Johnson mega crush for all time.
Isn't it also Zondali? Or is Zondali...
No, that's a different summer than Twin Peaks.
Okay, yeah.
There's no, there's zero way that Magic Amick would ever be the level of needed that Zondali
Come on,
was
Zondali was, at its time was like an important indie piece. I'm just kidding, guys. It was Judd Reinhold's.
She plays Passion Betty's Project. Mom on Riverdale.
Oh, wow, that's
like,
cool.
Almost all of the parents on that show are like former teen heartthrobs themselves.
Plus, that show is, from what I hear, sort of twisted in a Twin Peaks kind of way from its original Archie comic incarnations.
I think, but people who go into it expecting
Jughead's hot now.
Yeah, he is. Expecting something Twin Peaks-y, you're going to be a little disappointed.
But also, if you're expecting something traditionally Archie, you will also be
very
disappointed.
You're going to be really confused.
Because I remember watching those commercials during The Flash being like, what did they do to Archie?
Yeah, it's so good.
So the CW, not to brag, but the CW is one of my boss's clients, and a couple of them are really high. Like the president and a couple other people in the company are really good friends with my boss, and one of them was at an event that we had last year, and I was like, hey, so Riverdale, like, this was after Riverdale, or maybe it was 2 years ago, whenever Riverdale first started, I was like, I was watching it, like, I don't know if it's really for me, I'm like, my parents love it, though. He's like, they do. He's like, I really think you should give it another shot, and I was like, all right,
I agree.
We're missing some great Cage. I mean, it happens. There, George Gallo may have been written, but not entirely
so
directed
Cage
by.
So Cage in this movie is my age.
Wow.
Yeah, he's younger than me in this movie.
30 years old.
Like, in real life when
he
shot this?
Yeah, while he's shooting this.
Okay.
And he looks...
He looks 40 to me. I mean...
He always looks 40.
He's just perpetual 40-year-old man. Even now, in his, like, almost mid-50s, he still looks 40 to me.
Twin Peaks connection. Check.
Well, I understand why
I have no idea what's going on, because I can't hear anything.
Holiday setting?
There's some things I'll be able to point out we can't tell because we can't hear it entirely, but if you have bad accent... You better believe Dina Carvey's doing a terrible accent in this. I'll turn it up when it comes.
Turn the volume up because, I mean, it's fine. Because if they hear it, they hear it.
He's doing a bad accent too, like that New York accent. I blew my comma, father.
This priest has cool glasses.
This is the second movie in a row, Mike, where there's a prominent cross.
Oh, that's right. This priest kind of looks like if Santa shaved down into a goatee. Like he's doing crossword too.
In pencil.
Oh, there's the headline leading up to his brothers, the judge granting early clemency and stuff.
Ooh. They're in the newspaper?
Well, they're not mentioned, but he's going to bring it up now. Judge grants early Christmas.
Hmm. So, Kyra, you've never seen this movie.
Mm-mm.
Okay, the basic premise is him and his two brothers are a bunch of thieves.
Mm-hmm.
They went to prison. He's reformed. They're about to come out. It's Christmas, and he's just going to try and keep them on a leash, basically, the entire movie. They have a big deal, like a hit set up that they learned about in the joint. It's in a small town, and they're going to go rob a small town bank.
This is a shockingly well-lit Catholic church.
Well, look at all those candles.
Oh, there they are.
Go.
Like, even in the confessional booth, there was, like, a lot of light.
So what I can tell you is that you are not going to be thinking about this movie every day like the last one you were on, Vampire's Kiss. It's mm-hmm. also not as good. And I mean, I do want you to point out, if you notice, because just in the most recent episode of Whistle Thinking, as we're recording this, I guess 2 ago, if you're listening to this as it goes live, but you're talking about Cher's eyebrows in Moonstruck.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like you, as always, just point out any eyebrows you see that are noteworthy.
I noticed that Dana Carvey barely has eyebrows.
Very thinly.
That's something. They're, like, super thin. I love Dana Carvey. I always feel like he stole a little bit of Harry Anderson's thunder. Like, if you remember him from Night Court, the magician comedian. He was also in the TV version of It, but he recently passed, like, a year or so ago, but it's very similar sort of look and act to Dana Carvey, I think.
Well, they were just talking about it on Wistful, about Dana Carvey and David Spade. One funny, one not, but they all sort of look similar.
They have the same, like, build and, like,
yeah.
general... Like,
blonde hair.
They're just beige. Like, their skin and their hair, it's all just kind of beige.
I know him best as Garth, so that was Dana Carvey for me.
Oh, gross.
He's also doing
What is the impression he's doing all movie? Or is he doing an impression or not really?
Yeah, yeah.
Not the character,
Mickey
actor.
Rourke. He's doing a Mickey Rourke impression as his character.
Oh, right.
Dana Carvey.
Because that's a thing.
Well, he said something that was online where it was like, he was just going to try it and see if anyone said not to do it, and no one told him, like, to stop. So he's like, all right, I'll just fucking do it. Like, the movie's off the rails.
We've seen a lot with early Cage Club movies where, like, Nicolas Cage would show up on set and be like, this is what I'm going to dress like, this is what I'm going to talk like. People were like, no, don't do that. He's like, all right, then I'm not going to be here. And he's like, all right, I guess you're going to do that.
There's a lot of, like, John Lovitz was also on SNL. He was very big on that show, too. So it's kind of...
So I love him SNL. Most deeply.
Yeah, great episode. One of the best.
Which one?
Nicolas Cage was on one of the best episodes. Mm-hmm. His episode of SNL was
Cher was on
like
that, too.
Flawless. Yeah. He plays Tiny Elvis. They have their naming their child thing, you know? Ass Weepe, whatever.
What are you saying, Kara?
I love The Critic.
Oh, it stinks.
Yeah.
Critics terrific, yeah.
A lot of scarves. A lot of scarf work.
Well, it's the season, right? I love scarves, actually. I mean, I've got, like, about 3 right now.
It's a great way to jazz up an outfit.
You know, we...
I feel like if you're a guy, too, especially one who doesn't accessorize at all, like, a scarf is a really easy way to sort of, like, do it up for...
Well, I don't even wear jewelry, so I will often wear a scarf instead. Uh-huh.
Well, they just stole a car. They literally walked out of prison and stole a car.
Oh, I thought that was Cage's car. It was just a POS.
No, he was just holding up like the...
I thought they were joking. Like, oh, you actually used this, bro?
Oh, maybe. I can't hear the movie.
I know. And I haven't seen it since the last time we watched it for Cage Club, so... It's just weird that he's doing Mickey Rourke, because Mickey Rourke was in a Cage movie. He was in Rumblefish.
Diner era.
Yeah, Motorcycle Boy. Cage smoking. You have Cage smoking anywhere? Cage driving. I've got Cage driving. Oh, my goodness. I might get a...
Would you consider John Lovitz or Dana Carvey an animal?
I have that block too.
Cage is on screen with an animal.
It has to be a non-human. It has to be a non. It should change that from animal to non-human.
We're not changing it. I don't think anybody's actually playing Cage Club Bingo except for us. Although I see the download numbers. A lot of people are downloading it. I don't know if people are playing.
I would like to imagine that they're playing it at the festival in Scotland.
I hope so.
That they've downloaded a bunch of cards and just have them on
a
table.
I'm going to make a note of that. I'm going to say, you know, if they want.
Ooh, religion or spirituality. He was in a church and doing a confession thing.
Because that would be cool to think, like, just put a whole bunch of them on a table, and if you're watching the movie, play along if you feel like it.
Ooh, Cage in jail. Does that qualify as him picking his brothers up from jail?
Well, Cage has to set foot in the prison, I think. But you have I think he might go to local town jail later in the movie, so you have another chance.
Airport jail?
That's my favorite. That's still, I think, now, not my favorite movie, but one of the great Cage performances.
Honeymoon in Vegas,
yeah. Just his level of manic madcap.
And it's part of the Don Ho trilogy.
That's right. Kawaii?
This police car, it's the same year, right? Feels like Cage should step out from It Could Happen to You.
It Could Happen to You? That's right.
And Wendell Pierce, right?
Oh, man. Wendell Pierce, like, only plays law enforcement. It's crazy.
When I was in high school, one of my friends had that, like, exact...
Whoa. They had what?
That exact model Crown Victoria.
Oh.
And it was white.
Man.
And we would, like, pull up to parties, and I would freak out thinking that the cops were there.
See, yeah, like, I wouldn't want one of those cars because I feel like I would get mistaken for a cop, and
I don't know. I'm going to cross off overreaction for the cops' overreaction. Also, we've definitely seen an extreme facial expression already, because I feel like that's just, like, this is, you know, we talk a lot about movies that are, like, live-action cartoons and stuff. Like, this is a live-action cartoon. Oh, he's channeling a little bit of early Bad Lieutenant.
He's freaking out.
Yeah, I classify that as a freak out.
Crazy eyes, too.
Crazy eyes.
I love the lady who plays the mother. She's just... I remember just seeing her in tons of stuff. Oh, she's the... Oh, my God. That's the judge in the show My Two Dads with Paul Reiser, which was the basis of my band's name, My Five Dads. That she played the judge. She was like the third
lead. Heating up applesauce?
So it's really
people
weird.
People serve applesauce warm?
Yeah.
Ugh. Pass.
Well... It depends on the applesauce. You know, you wouldn't want, like, jarred applesauce.
Yeah, homemade, I'd say. Yeah. Homemade, you could do it. Because I would imagine, like, it's hot when you make it.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm 30 years into life, and I think I've only had Mott's applesauce. I feel like I can't.
Oh, my
not...
God. Joey.
You haven't
I'm going to have to make
yet.
You some applesauce.
I know,
30 years.
I know you're the apple queen.
Yeah, I'm the apple queen.
I mean that as a compliment.
Thank you. It means something completely different than it did... 6 years ago in my life.
Really?
Different Apple Queen.
Oh, because she used to work for Apple.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. No, actual edible apple.
Which is the one that I far prefer.
Sure.
Although when I left my job before the one that I had at Apple and I told them where I was going to go work, they thought I was talking about a fruit stand.
Nice. I'm going to work on the farm down the street. Mm-hmm. Work at Apple. At the Apple stand. I'm going to... The Apple cart. What was that? Morley's on... Mr. Show, the there was like a war between
the two grocery stores
things. Yeah, I forget what we were called, but like
look, a cat and some fun.
I don't remember what it is, but
like, there's another cat on the couch, a black one too.
It's essentially like our apples don't have E. coli.
Yeah, and it's like mine don't have worms, and then it's the other guy.
Now with three convenient locations.
Yeah.
Now with one location.
See, there's another cat, and there's a cat blanket.
If you have a movie plays in the movie, that's a box.
Oh, right, yeah, movie plays in the movie, they're watching.
I do not have that one.
How much better would this be if that show was Olympia Dukakis?
Oh, my God. So I did just watch Moonstruck for the first time.
Oh, for the first time.
First time. Oh. And she is a national treasure.
Yep, she's wonderful.
Unbelievable that she doesn't work more.
I think I knew her, this is crazy, a movie I watched too much as a kid, but... Steel Magnolias.
I've never seen that one.
It's really I mean, I was a big Dolly Parton fan. I mean, yeah. Julie Roberts, whatever. But, like, she in that is, like, incredible in that movie.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, on my list of things I want to see, but I have to, like, be in the right place for it.
But, like, I remember being, like,
I know I'll cry a lot.
13, 14, and, like, crying over Steel Magnolias. Mm-hmm. Like, what was, I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah, Dolly Parton's so good.
Look at this ornate room.
Look at that flower arrangement.
What is this situation? It's oh, he restaurant. Works there? This is his job?
No, I don't think anything is real. I think these are all hustles.
No, this is his straight job. He's like the maitre d'. See, what are you showing up at my job? This is like a scene straight out of Blues Brothers, where the Blues Brothers show up at their ex-bandmate's fancy restaurant. Remember that scene?
Like, I'm sure people like this exist in real life, but it just makes me, it bothers me to watch somebody act like John Lovitz acts.
I think John Lovitz is like that in real life.
You think?
I've heard some pretty damning stories about
his tell me about
that. I know, don't worry, it bothers me too, but I've things have come to light, not against women and not like that, but that he's just a dick to people. Like,
yeah.
Is this an adaptation of anything?
No. I think, thankfully, no. No novelization either, as far as I can tell.
What a shame.
I wondered if in the original script...
See, unless it's a different car.
If there were four brothers. Oh. Yeah, but that's the brothers' car. They probably stole that car.
That's an Infiniti, though. Oh, you said they
Where
stole
is everybody?
The car. Okay.
They couldn't afford extras.
What town are they in? Chicago or New York?
This reminds me of the beginning of
Family Man. Dolan.
Remember where it's 3 o'clock in the morning and they're like trying to. There's there's just
and Nolan's
no one
and
on the street.
Yeah, well, I think also we kind of figured out that the cops set up like barricades.
Yeah, I understand that. There's a reason in that movie. In this movie.
But they actually wrote a reason into why they didn't have production value.
Okay, Cage Smokes, again. If you have Cage Smokes.
Yeah.
He's smoking in like a really weird way.
Garden State Gas. What up, Jersey?
Again.
They're hiding out in Jersey.
Two movies in a row.
Oh, the classic
Batchild. Oh, God. So if you have on your card X-Files connection.
I remember seeing that in the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
I never had one of those, obviously, because why would my mom ever buy those for me? But, like, I remember being fascinated by, like, the National Enquirer and, like, World News Weekly or World Weekly News
so
or Weekly
fast.
World News or whatever.
I love how they work it into Men in Black. Like, that's such a great joke. Cage is pissed.
I'm going to cross off accentuating an oddly specific word because I feel like that feels appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
See, he's definitely putting a voice on. That looked sounded a little Peter Lowe to me. Elaborate schemes.
He also is kind of doing like a Brando a little bit. Like a...
Mm-hmm. What if they were all doing Mickey Rourke impressions?
That would be a really weird movie.
I like Love It Here. That's definitely accentuating.
Yep. This movie is so weird. Aside from the fact that we're not really listening to it, I think even if we were, it's so weird.
Oh, it's... Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, like, convenience comedies, right? Where it's like, they're just... We gotta get them trapped in a town and then let the hijinks, you know, happen. It's kind of this fish-out-of-water deal. But it also... You know, it has... It's kind of like... Listen, an infinitely better film... But in a sense, a movie that does it way better, like Groundhog's Day, like those first 15, 20 minutes can be whatever. It's just get them trapped in that day, you know? It takes a half hour to get them trapped in that day.
Or like a better film that Cage was in around this time, a little bit earlier,
of course.
Red Rock West, Trapped in Red Rock.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Another
that's right.
Twin Peaks connection.
Ooh,
and that's right out of the gate. He's trapped in the town from the beginning. So, this part is a little...
Horse.
Okay, so this is problematic. Coming up to a degree.
How do you remember these things?
Because it's sticking out. It's going to stick out. And it sort of comes back around.
This also reminds me of Three Billboards, sort of. Just like a bumbling town of small-town cops.
Here, Cage has a line coming up. Yeah. You know, he threw out the R word there.
Mm.
They do in Clueless, too.
I know. It's upsetting.
But, and you know, in this movie, that character has a bit of a redemption. It comes back and he redeems, he has like a, he saves the day at the end of the movie, kind of. So like,
well,
I don't
like,
know if that helps.
Not to defend the use of that word, but at this time,
it was
not,
very commonly used.
No.
Yeah.
It's like in Clueless, it's not used.
Believe it or
in a
not,
cool
he
way.
Was
it's
being
like a,
sensitive.
Yeah.
By saying it, you know, by saying that instead
I mean,
of something else.
It's the Baby Driver equivalent of, is he slow?
Yeah.
No.
Is he slow?
Is he slow?
Does he look slow?
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some big news out of, coming out of that movie. The
oh, Isaac Gonzalez
Darling.
And Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
That's cool.
Which, by the time that you're on our... Well, I guess it's going to be next year.
I think it'll be after.
There'll be a ninth episode. It'll be Hobbs and Shaw.
I'll have to come back on if something between and make sure I complete my lap.
Well, we're basically starting next year with your lap and ending next year with Kara's lap.
Oh, it's next... Wait. Right, 2019, which like, is not yeah. actually that far away. Okay.
No, right.
It's
right,
like
soon.
A month away.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
It's just a shout away.
Take a pen, Dana Carvey. Oh, here she comes. Right? She plays the bank
Madden?
Lady. Yeah. And then her dad is the criminal in jail. They got because her dad wants to rob this bank, and they stole the idea, and he breaks out later.
I like that. You know, in Twin Peaks again, another Twin Peaks connection, Audrey handcuffs herself to the bank vault, right? And...
Ladies and gentlemen, Audrey's dance. I get a very... I would love, you know... I wish... They've been doing a lot of these modern crossovers with Scooby-Doo lately. You know, they did one with Supernatural. They did one
have
with, like,
they?
Kiss and Jay and Silent Bob. Yeah.
Wait, how do
doing...
you know about this, but you didn't know that Rel how, like, Lil Rel had a show where, like, Ghosted was
my
a comedy?
Whole, where I'm going with is they need to do a Scooby-Doo Twin Peaks crossover badly. It is so close to
but
there
But neither of those
already.
Things exist right now.
Scooby-Doo's still going on in Twin
is
Peaks.
It? Was,
yeah, yeah. Scooby-Doo's still putting the shit out. Mm-hmm. Like I'm insane. They just put out... stuff. This year, oh, like that. There she is.
Hachi Machi.
She looks great with short hair.
I don't like that hair.
Really?
No.
I like it.
Did
I like,
she
I
have
like that
brown
long...
hair in Twin Peaks?
Yeah. She
oh,
long,
she has blonde hair.
Hair
on Riverdale. So
it's
this
lavender?
Is new for me.
She looks very different.
She
in
looks
the
like
suit,
a pro- she looks like a young professional here.
Yeah, yeah. Turtleneck.
My avatar on a movie site is her. In Twin Peaks. Like, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's very cute.
Oh, God, she's so pretty. And she's so, like, just Shelly, just the character of Shelly is great.
Mm-hmm. I have to watch Twin Peaks. I've never actually seen it.
Well, we're going to on TV is Dead, maybe.
Oh, I gotta
oh,
be on.
Yeah.
I wanna be on some of those Twin Peaks episodes.
Which we teased a little bit, or tried to tease
a little bit. Well, we're doing
bit,
the Lynch stuff anyway, yeah, with Mattiello, so.
That's not gonna, he's becoming a
then
doctor.
Then let's do it with her.
Well, no, I think because he wants to see David Lynch.
Well, listen, he can't have everything. We can't all get what we want all the time. You know, we should do it with Kara.
To be fair, I have much greater availability.
And we want that. I feel like, look, I love Chris. I love his perspective and everything. But we need more of like a woman's perspective on some of that
and
stuff,
only
too.
This
you know,
because
there's so many women on Twin Peaks. And like, I don't want it just to be us going, like, she's so gorgeous. She's so beautiful.
Well,
like,
no.
So
well I can't guarantee that I'll be able to say much more than that.
Well, so what I wanted to do with Twin Peaks, which Chris wasn't interested in, which was going to open it up, was that, especially for the return, do an episode on each, or an episode for every two or three episodes.
Right, yeah. Space them out a little bit, but...
Yeah. But,
we'll figure that out behind the scenes, but
I
yeah.
do want to figure out, because I would like to launch if a pending availability, a TV is Dead early next year. We've got to get that art together.
Mm-hmm. Still haven't bought bones.
We just need skeletons.
Yeah.
Just two skeletons on a couch. Sort of.
I might be
style.
Able to borrow a couple skeletons.
Oh, is that the... that's the...
Our TV podcast.
TV art? You could probably mock that up. I thought that you'd be kind of funny if you were potatoes also, like couch potatoes.
Well,
potatoes.
It's called tea. It's, well,
oh, yeah,
yeah
dead. Yeah, the
dead
thing fits more into yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although my initial idea was a lot more elaborate.
Well, there were a couple different
Cage
ideas.
Is freaking out because of the he sees the... Look at that freak out.
But
he's choking
this,
on smoke.
British floral designer who got really famous recently because he built this headdress for Beyonce's Vogue cover.
Okay.
Right. And he recently did a multimedia project with, like, a TV and a bunch of flowers and shit, and I was like, oh, good thing we didn't go with that idea.
Yeah, well, like I mean, you also wanted us to be in Grim Reaper outfits in a boat in the middle of a lake with the TV in our boat.
So my creative process is that I come up with an elaborate idea, and then I come up with a more elaborate idea.
And then we settle on
it. And then I reel it in a whole bunch. And then I'm like, you know what? Let's just do this other thing that's way easier.
Yeah, because you can't do it like you guys are going to be sitting on a couch in heaven, sitting on a couch in hell, in purgatory. It's like, I like what you settled on, the two skeletons on a couch.
Why just like bathed in blue light from a TV? That's what I have pictured.
Well, it could be any color light.
What if it's a TV-shaped tombstone? You know, it's like a TV, but it's granite, and then it's on a, and then engraved, it says TV is dead, and then it's on a plot.
Yeah, that's, my brain can chew on that. It's worth considering.
No, it's morbid. It's fun. It's kind
of... But coming early 2019, TV is dead. Monthly, maybe, or we're going to aim for monthly, but I might edit it down to shorter things to release weekly? I don't know.
One, two-parters kind of thing.
To be figured out.
Well, that's what I did with my show eventually, is like not only added bonus episodes. It's a monthly show. That's the bottom line. But there's... two-parters, you know, that's how it started out. And then there's these bonus episodes I've been doing.
Well, your show is like Zack Attack. Like, Zack Attack started as a monthly show, and then by the end we're just like, no, we're going to do it twice a month, but like it's still a
monthly show. So, I mean, especially coming up this year since we're starting those two new podcasts and there's going to be a lot of work going on behind the scenes, I feel like, you know, January through April is probably just going to be one episode per month. Well, I already got February. I already got two for February and two for April, but we'll see what happens.
But January, March, definitely one, unless.
Definitely. No, wait, January.
He'll be like the sunglasses character because he wears them for the rest of the movie.
Nice.
Actually, January might actually be the first three-part. We'll get there. Never mind. You know how expensive cereal is? Like, Oh, he's only stealing the prize, though. That's right. He's like,
no, Mike,
he himself
Mike,
is like
I
a
buy
child.
Cereal. Cereal's not expensive.
What are you talking about? It's like $4 a box.
Yeah, and you get like 12 meals out of it.
But it goes on sale for like $2 sometimes, and I could get two for, I mean, I find it
I don't know if you know this, but things cost way more money than they're supposed to.
I'm aware, but
I just feel like, cereal, though. No, I understand like the rest of the supermarket, but it always bothered me how expensive cereal was. I don't know.
You could buy store brand and just feel like a little bit of disappointment.
I can't buy store brand. What are you? I don't even buy sugary cereals anymore.
I know.
Like my Crispix cost.
We asked you on Boyfriend of Cereal and you gave a real disappointing answer. You said you're an old man.
I am an old man.
What kind of cereal was it?
Oh, like Crispix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's just wheat.
Yeah, you can't skimp on those non-sugary cereals because there's nothing to hide it.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, you can totally go generic on the other ones, probably. I don't know. I don't
alternate,
eat cereal.
Cap'n Crunch berry box with a Raisin Bran Crunch box or Honey Nut Cheerio box. So it's, really unhealthy cereal versus moderately unhealthy cereal, and just alternate between two of those.
How much he stole, like, the whole store?
Cholesterol, though, with the Honey Nut Cheerios.
It's good, right?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
It's a win-win.
Oh my god, I do love those sunglasses.
I love this store, general store.
We, in the town I grew up in, had a store like this. At least, like...
Well, this takes place sort of, like, near the Nyack area, I feel,
this
like, up in that
feels
district.
Like the outdoor equivalent of Big Ed's Tire Shop, right?
That's a good call.
From the last movie we just watched.
Well, the same sort of suburban district.
Same kind of decorations.
Well, that we found out was Teaneck in that movie.
Yeah,
I'm curious where they shot this, because that town was weird, like the building exteriors. But there's actually still a deli in Ringwood that is kind of like this, and it's so bizarre. It's like a time capsule, but it's German, so there's a lot of German products. And then there's this whole section with, like, lawn gnomes. It's very bizarre.
Mm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Not scary at all.
What's this movie called again?
Trapped in Paradise. There was we talked about it on the Young Adult episode, or maybe the Tully episode. Diablo Cody wrote a movie called Paradise about Las Vegas, starring, I think, maybe not Kristen Chenoweth.
Cage Wears a Hat, if you have Cage Wears a Hat. Okay.
Yeah. I thought he had the Elmer Fudd hat. He just has the beanie? I guess it makes more sense.
Check the cover. What's he wearing on the cover? Because that's what I had in mind. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, no, he's got an Elmer Fudd hat here.
Yeah. Maybe
this is a very poorly photoshopped cover, if you want to soak that in.
This was actually all shot in Canada.
That makes okay. Sense. Shout out Lindsay Gibb, Cage Club expert.
The American Northeast of Canada.
That's right.
The affordable Northeast.
Canada. The other America. Right? Like the movie America. This has given me sort of Wild at Heart vibes. He robs a bank. Oh, no, they robbed the seed store at the end of that. Yeah. The bank is in Raising Arizona where they rob. They go in and...
You know, if Cage can hold his employees there on Christmas Eve, they could rob a bank on Christmas Eve. That's what I'm saying. I'm so glad that Christmas is a Tuesday this year, because that means that Monday, Tuesday, whoop, no work.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I want to take this past week off, and that would have been so nice, because this last week was a week from hell for work, but now I have off basically the back half of December, so that is
nice.
A nice little exchange. So I'm going to be off anyway, but for sure.
Those glasses look like the Back to the Future 2 glasses you'd get in the kids' meal McDonald's when it came out.
The orange
glasses? That was a thing. You could collect four different Back to the Future 2 future glasses.
Huh. All right.
Keys. I love when Cage repeats a word over and over again. You see him, like, rev up to that one?
Also, they are robbing a vault in the Trust where he repeats, open it, open it, open
That's right.
it, open
yeah.
it, open it.
Elijah Wood, yeah. You rob anything else?
Probably.
Oh, God, in 60 seconds, they rob a bunch of cars.
Let's go. What else are they stolen? They steal gold.
They steal. That's right, the fastest heist in film history.
Yep.
It takes about 5 minutes.
They steal a lot of money. National Treasure.
Yeah, that's more of a hunt.
He steals the Declaration
of
Independence.
Never mind. I stand corrected. I'm
thinking
bank.
Is Cage Steals Something one of these bingo things?
Cage Steals Something.
Steal
something
will
now
be for the next one.
Way to go, Kara. Thank you for your contribution. I remember the first time I saw this, years and years before Cage Club started, I thought this was really clever that they had to go across the street and get the guy at the diner and bring him back across the street to the bank. I thought that was funny. Because I saw this as when it came out, I guess, 95, 94, on VHS.
And he just looks to sort of fit in with the winter weather
Yeah,
gear.
This is...
Yeah.
No one is like, who's that weird guy? Why is he carrying a rifle?
Because it's America.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, back then it wasn't this America then. I mean, nowadays, if you walk down the street and see this, yeah, but 94...
I would love... So, you know, we were playing on the Watch of Throne, like, Stan Lee yourself, RIP. I would love to be the sleeping security guard, just, like, sleep there in every shot.
I didn't think we'd have enough to talk about on the Look Who's Talking Now episode. I was going to Stan Lee us through that, but I was going to be, what talking animal would you like to be? As opposed to what would you see yourself as? Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that. We talked a lot more about that episode. So they covered that also in How'd This Get Made as well.
I listened with Conan. Yeah.
With Conan. And Jason Mantzoukas said it was a step in the right direction. I was like, how do you think this is better than the second one?
I was very surprised by a lot of their thoughts on that. I mean, they were sort of incredulous about the same things, but then I feel like we had way more problems with that movie than they did.
Actually, now as we put this out, all three of our episodes, the two for Cinemakers and the one for your show for Third of the Charm.
The Look Who's Trilogy.
Are now all out. The Look Who's Trilogy is now out on cageclub.me, so go check those out. Kara's on the first two, and she smartly made the decision to not join us for the third. How much better would this movie be if she was Olympia Dukakis? Just every old lady just replaced with Olympia Dukakis.
Being Olympia Dukakis?
I was just thinking that.
I'd watch that.
Dukakis.
So Malkovich, that's been on a lot this week. I haven't watched it straight through, but I keep catching the part where he goes into his own mind.
I've never seen that whole movie.
Oh man, it's
so
good.
I do need to see it. Yeah.
Spike Jonze directed that?
Yep. Yeah. Written by Kaufman. So,
Kara, okay, you should just do Spike Jonze. No, I think Kyle. Somebody signed up for Spike Jonze.
He's only got like four movies, right?
No, I think he's got a few more than that. I think he's got like six. I did a pretty big rearrangement of the Cinemaker spreadsheet, so I was sort of looking into...
I mentioned I wanted to rewatch Wolf of Wall Street in the last episode. He's
Spike
in
Jonze.
Wolf of Wall Street, yeah. Penny Stocks.
If you sell $2,000, I will personally give you a blowjob.
That's a great scene where you just... Oh, man, that's so good. So that scene with the penny stocks and stuff, shot by Kyle Reinfried's hometown, shot in his hometown by his childhood house. He was there on set the day they were shooting that. He didn't meet, but he got Martin Scorsese's autograph that day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, what movie was that?
Wolf of Wall Street.
No.
He did meet Spike Jones, I believe, and shook his hand, said hello, and Spike Jones.
Something. Cool.
Yeah.
So Spike Jonze, I don't think I ever saw him at, but Charlie Kaufman was at Fantastic Fest when I saw Anomalisa.
Really? He seems very, like, he wouldn't want to go out in public a lot.
Seemed very uncomfortable to be around.
Because I seen him on Charlie Rose once, and this was before, you know, when Charlie Rose was a person. But his talk show, was, like, the most comfortable to go on because it was just a black studio with no one in there, and people could just, you know, relax. And he was very nervous on Charlie Rose.
He did not. I mean, I think he seemed better because this was, like, 2 or 3 years ago, but it was still like he did not want to be there. I mean, it was a good Q&A, but he was just very clearly like, this is not who I am. I don't want to be answering questions about my movie.
It's a contractual obligation kind of thing.
But the best... Oh, God, I'm going to have to pull his name. Hold on.
Oh, wait, that John Lennon quote, that was in the last movie. Yeah, okay, I have Elvis or Beatles in this.
I have it, too.
It's crazy that he actually quotes John Lennon in a movie, though. I never really realized that, but in Family Man, he does. Oh, would this small town really be able to afford those lasers? And if so, do you think they're just for show?
Security is no joke, Mike.
It is in this small town because they didn't have the security camera plugged in.
And the security guard is like a 95-year-old geezer. Yeah. Who actually, like, kind of bears a small resemblance to Stan Lee
the best Q&A, it reminded me of the Charlie Kaufman, is the Don Hertzfeld Q&A that I saw when they showed World of Tomorrow Part 2.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Have you seen World of Tomorrow, Part 2, the shorts?
Yeah, I saw Part 1. I don't know why I haven't seen Part 2 yet.
It came out, like, around Christmas time last year. It's so goddamn good.
Okay, I have to watch Part 2 this then. All right, so they make off
is
the
that,
heist.
That Sky Captain movie?
No.
Different.
I like Sky
different
Captain.
World of Tomorrow.
I'm a fan of Sky Captain, folks. If you're out there, it's, you know, Joey, we've dropped the moniker Guilty from our pleasures when we're talking about movie. That movie, to me.
That's the kind of movie that I feel like I could love, and I
think
no joy in it.
Really? I'm shocked. Like, I thought it was really cool idea. I thought it was really
isn't your boy Tobey Maguire in that, or no?
No, that's Giovanni Ribisi as the scientist, with the ray gun.
Same thing.
World of Tomorrow is an animated thing that Don Hertzfeld did.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what's the first thing he did? He made a couple, I don't know why I can't remember anything that he's done, but he made a couple things. But he made this short where he interviewed his, like, 4-year-old niece and just asked her questions and then took her speech and then made, like, a story out of it. And it's about this little girl who gets, I guess,
sent
visited
by the descendant
future self.
Yeah.
She's Emily Prime, and she talks.
She means like Emily, like 9,000.
Super depressed.
Yeah,
super depressing, and
but very
just wonderful.
Done in a very sort of cheery way. It kind of this is going to be a weird analogy, but it reminds me of the Misfits, the band The Misfits, where like every one of their songs sounds like a cheerful anthem, but if you listen and read the lyrics, they're like the most morbid, dark and depressing lyrics, like eating babies and stuff. Like, it's crazy. But it sounds like they're celebrating that.
Yeah.
And then World of Tomorrow, Episode 2, The Burden of Other People's Thoughts is
that's the
very,
one I did not
good.
See yet. Yes.
So he was most known for It's Such a Beautiful Day.
You said he was going to be wearing those great sunglasses through the rest of the movie.
He
just threw them in a lake.
Damn. No one even gets to keep those.
So, I mean, he wore them for a while.
The keys. You're losing the keys. Just a relic from their heist.
From everything we read, filming this movie was...
Are they in prison now?
A disaster. So, no, Cage isn't, but Mad Chick's dad.
Mad Chin
Amick.
You're combining her first and last name.
Kind of like what people do with celebrities, but...
It's a portmanteau for just her.
I love him.
A clumsy portmanteau.
Paul F. Tompkins has so many different words for portmanteau. He's like, an alias, a portmanteau. He goes down the list that one episode.
Carlifer.
These guys look like real hardened criminals to me. Like real blue-collar guy. Kinda.
Again, another reason I watch Paddington 2. Great prison scenes in Paddington 2.
I found them very disturbing. Like, just the whole prison storyline was...
It's a little weird
that he goes to jail, but...
Yeah.
It's just the whole movie.
Did you find the movie magical or no?
I don't know.
Get out.
I liked the dance scene at the end. Oh, that, like, so... made up for everything. But
who's that guy again?
Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant. So my sister turns to me halfway, because we took her kids to see Paddington. My sister turns halfway through to me with this shit-eating grin on her face going, "That's Hugh Grant?" I'm like, "I know, right?" She's like, "Holy shit, I used to fucking have the biggest crush on Hugh Grant. I can't believe that's him. It took me this long to realize that's him." I was like, "He got old, right?"
He does not look great in that movie.
She's like, "Oh," she goes, "I love this movie, and I love it 10 times more now." Hey, Jenkins.
Oh, yeah, looking the same as he... So Cage always looks 40, Richard Jenkins always looks 65. I think I probably made that same joke on the episode of this.
You didn't watch the funeral show, right? The funeral... He's on that...
Succession?
No, 6 Feet Under.
Oh.
He's the dad on 6 Feet Under.
Oh, yeah, but
the
he
The funeral
dies,
show.
Like, in the first episode.
Well, not a spoil, but yeah.
I saw the first two or three episodes. I know he dies in the car accident.
HBO did a really good job back then of making you want to watch the entire series after the pilot back then. I mean, they did it again with, like, The Leftovers and stuff. It's like, you can't miss, like...
I don't remember The Leftovers pilot. What's the...
I thought it was pretty heavy. Like, I thought it was
the
kind of thing...
Well, the whole show is.
No, but I mean, it felt like the kind of thing, like... You know, this is going to go to very, like, weird and interesting places, like 6 Feet Under, like, right off the gate, right out of the bat. It's like, oh, this is going to be a unique show.
Both of those shows will be covered at some point on TV is Dead. I think we're going to start with The Leftovers, because that's the whole reason that we're doing the podcast. Or do we save it?
I mean, the whole reason you're doing it, there's all sorts of other things.
Or should we save it? Is that, like, our...
Our swan song?
Mm. Don't look at me.
I do want to.
You going to just do shows about death, or
it's basically going to be like a depressing as fuck look at television to try to do like positive things about it.
Well, so originally we were just like, let's do a podcast where we get to talk about things that don't fit into any of our other podcasts.
Yes.
And then we were like going back and forth of like, we should do this, we should do that, we should do this, and literally everything had some connection to themes of like grief and death and, you know, those sorts of things. So we were like, well, I guess that's the theme of the show.
That's who we are.
Yeah. But
I feel like I'm not that person until I talk to you and I'm like, yeah, let's get real dark with it.
God,
you bring it out in people.
I really need to work on that because I do bring it out in people.
But we're gonna also like we're gonna do The Leftovers, iZombie, which is not It's comedy, right? Is that a comedy?
It's a comedy, but it's a comedy. It's a zombie comedy, so clearly a lot of
death. Zombie?
A zombie. It's a zombie crime
cool
comedy. So she's solving people's murders.
Love it.
Yeah.
Lost, 6 Feet Under, Pushing Daisies, Dead Like Me, Battlestar Galactica,
Battlestar Galactica,
Twin Peaks, Santa Clarita Diet, Buffy
really
and Angel.
Too.
Now on
you
Facebook.
You were the iZombie was a comic? It didn't have a very long run.
Yeah,
have like
I haven't read
year.
It, but I did know that it was a thing.
There's another comic you might want to check out. It's really cool. It's kind of similar. It's called Chew, and it's about someone who works for the FDA, but if everything he tastes, he knows the psychic history of.
Wow.
So, like, if he tastes a piece of chicken, he sees the farm from where it was born all the way up to when it was cooked and served to him.
I feel like you would just never eat meat again.
Well, he's a detective, so like even if he eats like anything he eats, he knows the psychic. So if he bites somebody, he gets their entire like history in his mind and stuff. Burn. So like,
yeah. Well, in iZombie, she has to eat people's brains to find out how they got murdered. Also because she's a zombie.
You're describing that on Foodie Films.
Yeah,
that's why I know about it. I'm surprised, Mike, about this movie that there are so few bingo squares. I thought this would have been a much more
I was doing really well. I almost had a bingo until I got stopped short when they got to Paradise.
Does he go by multiple names in this movie?
Yes.
Right.
He lies and says it's got a different name.
Feels about right.
Free space. I just need him to go to jail, and I got bingo.
There is a wonderful scene at the end of this, towards the end, where it's sort of singing, Cage sings?
Well, Cage sings, yeah, I have that, but that's not what I was pointing
he's
at.
Singing.
I was saying this reminds me of that movie where Keanu is a hitman, and he's being driven. It's the Charles Bronson. Is it the Charles Bronson movie?
Keanu?
remember where Charles Bronson's like a politician? He's like a union chief.
Oh my God, you're going way back.
What was that called? Action something?
Oh dear. It's, oh.
I'm sure he's grunted in this.
I don't recall.
But Mike, you were saying something about the end scene in this movie.
Oh, there's a wonderful part where like a bunch of old people come out and do like a chain into the river to save them. So it's like championing like old people. I was like, oh, look.
Wait, that happens in this movie?
Yeah, at the end of this movie, like a bunch of old people come out of like some house and they're like, save the youngsters.
How do you remember this movie?
Well, I don't know.
Wait, how many times did you see it before we caught it?
Once. I've only seen it.
You've seen it twice.
So this is my third time ever watching it.
And you remember specific lines and moments.
Yeah, well, you know, certain things just stick with me.
How old were you when you saw it for the first
time?
Like
15.
Okay.
Yeah.
When it came out? 16. You seen it in theaters?
No, I didn't see it in theaters, no. But I saw It Could Happen to You. I saw a bunch of Cage in theaters, just not this I missed. I remember vividly renting this, though.
Oh, that lady. I love that lady. Mm-hmm. She's always very funny. I don't know who she is, though.
Not Olympia Dukakis.
No.
And this man, as usual, not as usual, this man
Act
as well.
Act of Vengeance.
Act of Vengeance, that's it. Charles Bronson. You're not going to break up these unions, see?
Mm-hmm. I've still kept up my streak of never seeing a Death Wish movie.
Oh. Death Wish 1 is solid. Death Wish 2 is like a terrible retread of the first one, just in a different city. Death Wish 3 is what you might call the perfect canon film.
Ooh.
Canon films, man, you know how crazy those can get? Well, like, it's like, what are the epitome of, like, out-of-control, amazing exploitation things? So we're doing it for third time's a charm. So far, it's just me and Larson, if you want to get on that train one day.
I probably do not, but that's, I appreciate the offer.
I'm going to do it sometime. I plan to do that over the summer. I don't really much plan.
So I was talking to Kyla and Brian. I was talking, I think, specifically to Brian about P.S. I Still Love Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
About there, starting January 1st, they're going to revisit once a month, just like we do here. And Brian was like, oh, it's going to be a more focused show. It's like, easier to edit. I was like, yeah, definitely easier to edit. He's like, it's also going to be a more focused show. I was like, no, it's not. I was like, Mike and I thought that too, and like, it is anything but.
Right. They're going to go off and then realize, oh, the movie's over. And then
they're going to release like a 3-hour episode for a 2-hour movie.
Yeah, that's
like,
what I mean.
Oh, we've been talking for a while about.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine our Clueless episode will be about 6 hours.
Oh, no.
So I just wrote down quotes because I was like, I'm not even going to, like, I'm just going to, like, let Kara drive this truck.
Yeah.
That episode's coming out, on Christmas Eve. So, comes out 4 days on Monday. If you're listening to this the day it comes out, on Monday we are releasing our
I've got a few notes for Clueless and stuff. Joey, if you remember, we were doing one of the first Cage Club Revisited, I think before the Rocky Marathon, we were doing Seeking Justice.
Hungry Rabbit Jumps.
Yeah, and I revealed a Clueless connection that I had, but the microphone came out, or I hit
mute or something like that. Yes.
And so you know what that is, but no one else knows what that is. So I don't know. I'm debating on whether or not I will talk about that during the Clueless.
I thought it was salacious, and you said, it's not that much.
I don't think like it's a big deal. I mean, people make it out to be...
Well, we're teasing a crossover. Go listen to Monday's Cinemakers.
Why hasn't she been in more things? She's, like, captivating.
She's, like, yeah... She commands your...
Like, I can't concentrate on anything else. She's so gorgeous. And she's really good, at least in Riverdale. I can't tell if she's good in this, because I can't hear
anything.
She
seems natural in this. Like, genuine. Like, everyone in this town is so saccharine and, like...
I forgot it's Christmas time.
It's like the Waldens, or, like, Mayberry, you know? Like, that's where they're at. And
she's
so,
mostly just done TV work. Like, an episode here, 3 there, 6 there, 5 here... Is this a Freddie Prinze Jr.? She was on. There was a TV show called Freddie. If anybody remembers that,
no.
Very, 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 very.
She was on all 22 episodes of that.
Interesting.
That's like remembering.
What year is that?
There was a Norm show.
0506.
0506. Okay. Yeah.
Which feels way too late
for Freddie Prinze Jr. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that ship sailed in like 1999. Yeah, at least 2002. Yeah. Well, you know, he does the voice of Kanan for Star Wars Rebels, so like he came back in a way, and his wife did a voice of one of the Inquisitors.
I'm sorry, his wife?
Sarah Michelle. I'm sorry, he's her husband.
Yes,
I apologize.
He is
Sarah Michelle Gellar's husband did a voice on Star Wars Rebels, and she guest starred as one of the Inquisitors.
She's the only other thing I think I've ever seen Madgen in, Shelley Johnson, is Sleepwalkers. That's
oh,
King.
No, she was in Sleepwalkers?
Yeah, she's the Yikes. Girl that they want to eat.
Do, 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 do.
Can Which, you blame them? I love
exactly.
that shirt.
Whoa. But you know what's cool about the Star Wars Rebels? His character looks like him. So, like, if they were ever going to do, going to come into the Star Wars, like, live-action universe, they could just cast Freddie Prinze Jr.
Are you going to do your Star Wars podcast or what?
It's not off the books. I got to get out my Jedi episode in January 1st and then let's see where the chips fall. There's a lot going on next year. A lot happened this year, so I just got to pace myself. That's what I'm most concerned about.
Yeah, I realize that I need to start saying no to more things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Joey, pace yourself.
In the words of the great Oprah Winfrey, no is a full sentence.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I never heard her say it like that. And there's a cat calendar. This is very pro-cat.
They're in the same apartment
oh,
with
wait,
the cats,
what am
though.
I doing? Cage on screen with an animal. Duh. That was way early. There's not going to be an awkward sex scene, though, I'll tell you that much. Unless it's between a cat and a dog.
Have we seen any
Mike,
dogs?
I'm going to ask you to get out
Where
of
did
your
that
own
come
house.
You could cut that. No one else was
we
talking.
We can't cut these.
You could cut. You cut a little. You snip here and there. You mm-hmm. mute. You mute some stuff, don't
I
you?
I mute noises. I don't mute. I don't mute audio.
Well, you could mute that.
I mute like if you like cough or
you,
if
you could pretend I coughed.
No, it's staying in. Mike, why don't you have a Cage Club sticker on that?
On what?
On your
because we're running low.
I know.
So I put because I put one on here when we first got them, and I was like, you know what? Maybe I should save these, and before I go sticking them on everything in my room.
I don't see like because everywhere I go, I give them to people. Like I just have a stack in my wallet, and I'm like, here's my thing.
Yeah, I've only got about like I guess 10 or so in dresser.
If they're up in like a dozen or more European cities,
that's nice.
They're in Canada. I put them in Canada.
Now, there's a sweater.
Yeah.
There's a hairdo, too.
Really? Combed it over. I feel like Dana Carvey might want to belong in this town.
Okay.
Dude, oh, my.
You just ruined your
it's
meal,
a
bro.
A lot of gravy. Famous I love scene. Gravy, but this is a
oh,
little
he's a
much.
Klepto. That's why, right?
Because
he's stealing all
scene.
The... You know, famous food scene, indeed. I don't know how famous it means just for that. Just because, look, he's using all the gravy. He's crazy.
He even put it look, on the cranberry
gonna,
sauce.
He's going to ask for more.
Are they eating peaches?
If there was just a peach on the table for holiday reasons.
Is that a thing people do?
I don't know, but Dana Carvey's oranges. Food is still swimming in
That's
gravy.
That's a thing people do?
Hmm?
Okay.
Well, because oranges used to be a real delicacy for people in northern latitudes, but once the railroads were built... They were able to be disseminated much further, and so, you know, still kind of a special thing.
Kind of like symbolic.
Kids would get an orange for Christmas if they were poor. Like, that was kind of, like, all they would
a
get.
A treat.
Yeah, and it's still very much a tradition in many European...
Mm-hmm. When I was a child.
Especially in, like, Central
I've
Europe.
I've heard that oranges are the new black. Is that true?
I cannot confirm nor deny that.
Oranges are the new black licorice. My grandma, my mother's side, is Norwegian, and ever since I was a kid, every year she would give us an orange.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then when Santa would come, he would hand out oranges and stuff like that to the house and everything.
It's a part of Little Women. They have an orange during the... I think it's during the war, or maybe just after it, and Amy is, like, coveting it, and she's like, oh my god, I can't wait to eat this fucking orange. And then they have to, like, bring all of their breakfast to, like, people who are even poorer than they are, and she's like,
man.
No!
And they're pretty poor, if I remember, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember them talking about that on the Winona episode. Did you talk about it in yours, too? Or?
Hell yeah, we did, like, I was going to say a full year before they did, but that's not
You guys
true.
Don't have music on your show, right? I keep forgetting that, and then the show starts, and it's like, oh yeah.
Yeah, no. No
what,
yeah.
music?
Yeah. They just cut to the chase.
There's no outro either, it's just like...
Yeah, just bye.
Bup.
Well, like unless that, I edit it, and then I'll stick a song at the end.
Oh, okay. That's how I can tell.
You can really tell whether Kara edits an episode or Jordan edits an episode.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Because there's editing.
Depends on who's editing.
Kara edits.
It's true. That's a.
Oh, and that Jordan doesn't. Yeah, that is true. She does, just not as much as I do.
I feel like every show has different standards and levels of what they consider, like,
yeah,
editable and not edibles. Everybody's edibles are a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Different strength.
What a shot. Three Brothers.
That's what makes it famous. That and all the gravy. Oh, she missed the magic moment?
We had a refrigerator that color when I was a kid.
What color was it?
Like mustard yellow.
Mine growing up was a soft lime green.
Oh, nice. Mm. Okay.
Like more of like an avocado green.
I always had white ones until moved here. I mean, we had a brown one and now this silver deal.
What color is mine now? I guess white probably.
I just got a new one in like 2016 or something, so it's pretty.
It's weird, like I like you good. Know, if you ask me to describe any of my appliances, I wouldn't know how, like I just bought the house. They just came with the house. Dishwasher black, stove.
I dish
white.
My
it's like white
washer
and
dryers
black,
are white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kara has cooked more on my stove probably in one afternoon than I have in 8 months. It's only a slight exaggeration.
No, I don't think I lit the stove in like a month. So.
I mean, I use the stove a lot, but it's mostly to heat things up or to whatever.
Mm. I think I use it to like boil water for ramen or something. But.
Well, I brought two soups. One is a potato leek soup, and the other one is, like, I don't know if it constitutes a soup anymore, because it's mostly solid, but it's, like, lentils and quinoa and a bunch of vegetables.
Okay.
Ooh.
More of a stew, maybe.
Cold weather food.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hope I have pots.
Oh, you could just put it in the microwave.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right, then let's do that.
So let's keep that streak alive of not using stove.
My microwave, by the way, from, like, my original house, so that's, like, the second... I guess that's the second microwave I've, like, our family owned, and I've just been going to get rid of it. I'm getting myself a new one for Christmas, but, like, it is a relic, baby. Oh, and I just got a new modem on the side there. I'll show you my Motorola modem that... When I was on the phone with the guy from Optimum, he's like, describe your modem to me. I was like, well, it's the one I got 20 years ago. He's like, you mean like the white? I was like, yeah. He's like, hold on, dude. He's like, I hope you have another modem in the house. I was like, well, actually, you guys sent me one about 5 years ago. And then he's like, go get that modem.
Wait. I've been coming here for years.
Yeah.
Dealing with your terrible internet.
I'm
you had
sorry.
Another modem that wasn't
I didn't know that it was the modem entirely. I thought I just had kind of crappy internet access.
Like, you know, like, also, if that's your router, that router is also, like, 15
yeah,
years old.
Yeah, that's my router. So I'll have to replace the router next. But the router wasn't giving me issues. It was the modem that died.
But. Yeah, but that's a wireless G router. That's like...
What are they up to now?
Well, there was N, and then there was...
There have been 1,000 wireless protocols since then.
Yeah. There well, was like there was A and B before anybody really had internet. Then there was mm-hmm. G, which was
so,
like the first like
okay,
widespread
so wait,
one.
Let me just ask you two questions. One question. Okay, two questions. Can I just go buy a router and
yeah.
plug
yes.
it in without calling anybody? And
yes.
doing it?
Oh,
second
sure.
of all, recommend me a nice new router, and I'll go buy one for Christmas. I'm just saying, like, email me. I'm not saying, like,
yeah.
right now or anything, but, like, yeah.
Just go spend about $100 on a router, and it doesn't matter what you buy.
You can just go to the Apple store. The airports are pretty
okay.
reliable.
And then I'll be in the modern age then, guys.
Yeah.
That'd be Mike of the future.
Once you get that microwave, it is 21st century, baby.
I have a toaster oven I never opened up in the garage. I could go get that, too. Well, that I got.
Do you have a coffee maker? Can you make a three-course meal?
Well, that's from
maker?
When I was living with Dawn. I got a toaster oven as a gift, but I think Sean had a toaster oven, so, like, I lived with a Sean and Don. It got confusing. So I still have this toaster oven that I never opened from those days.
Yeah. I never had a toaster oven until where I'm living now, and I fucking love it.
Oh, they're magic.
They're incredible.
Magic. Like, the meals that Sean and Don would cook up in those things, they'd like, use it as, like, a second oven.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, really, the thing that bothers me, the only thing that bothers me about my kitchen, because it's like, you know, having lived in apartments with, like, tiny-ass cramped kitchens,
yeah.
to actually have, like, a full kitchen, it's like, oh, this is kind of amazing. The only thing that bothers me about my kitchen, Kara, if you remember, is that to the right of the stove, there's, like, that mm-hmm. countertop, and there's no electrical outlet over there at all. I'm like, that's
yeah.
a spot for a microwave or whatever.
Yeah, and kitchens should have, like, outlets...
Everywhere.
Yeah, super accessible.
My house is also 93 years old, so...
He's got the hat on now. This house is from...
I used to have a hat like that, and I miss it.
The late 50s, so like 56, I think, this house went up, so it's post post-World War II kind of plans.
Yeah, and in on the day that I closed on my... Or no, the day that I guess I moved in or closed on my house, either one, in 2026, I'm going to have a 100th birthday party for my house.
Oh,
you guys
sweet.
Are invited.
So growing up in the town I grew up with, there's this section they just called The Lawns. This neighborhood they called The Lawns. And it's like this huge section of part of the town. And it's all identical housing because they were all built in the late 40s after the GIs came home from war. And like a lot of them got college grants and jobs in the city. And then they would live in the suburbs. And so it's freaky. I had like 10 friends. And no matter whose house I went over, I knew the layout. It was identical.
Oh, that's so weird.
Identical.
What was it called? Like
it's like track housing,
track
I think?
No. There's a thing. I mean, I'm not saying no that that's not right. It's not what I'm thinking
But there's
of.
Like an actual...
There's like,
another,
it was named after a guy.
Levittown?
What?
Levittown. I think that was the first one. They're planned communities.
Yeah, planned. Yeah, like that. Yeah.
My parents moved to one when they retired.
I've got a gun!
And it took me forever to, like... be able to find their house.
Yeah.
Because they all look the same. And
getting lost
like,
in the lawns was a regular thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like you didn't want to go too deep in because like you'd really,
you might never get out.
Like the cul-de-sac I lived on was interesting because there were four houses and my house was the same as another one and then another house was the same as the other one. So it was like every other house was like the same.
But they were all like in the same general style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and we were all in like a circle cul-de-sac together, like dead end thing. But I guess that's just how they tried to plan communities, especially one like Ridgewood, you know, which was...
The house that I was looking to buy last year was next door to my friend's house, which is how I found out about it. And whoever built both those houses built them the same time as mirror images of each other. And so they had been living in their house for a while. So when I toured the house, he came over. He's like, this is so weird because it's my house. But
that's weird.
Because it's just like, you know, it's like it's dorms at Ramapo, right? Like, it's the same thing. It's...
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's either right or left.
Yeah.
You mean like the CPAs?
Or the Laurel or the Village or wherever, yeah.
No, I don't think I went into a lot of them.
Even those apartments, those big apartments and stuff, like Dana lived in one of those and it's like Phil lived in another. It's like I know just the layout. It doesn't matter. If you're in this building, every room is the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those apartments, though, up of like far, I remember when Tobin lived there for a year on campus. Did you know that? Like,
no.
In
the CPAs?
Yeah, he lived in the CPAs.
Oh, weird.
And I went and hung out with him like a couple of times there, and
that's
was like,
too.
It was kind of weird. Like, I mean, this was before we did Cage Club, I think.
Was it after you graduated?
Yeah, it was after I graduated.
He was living there
for a year. He stayed there. He had to finish. His family moved back, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm finishing up this semester here, and I'm living in the CPAs."
It was an interim thing, okay?
Yeah, because I remember judging the media collision.
Oh, okay. Judging him for living in the living.
No.
Shout out Tobin. Go listen to the Contenders.
Yes, the Contenders, which is.
They recently did a holiday episode for Thanksgiving. What movie was that?
Home for the Holidays.
Which, for some reason, I saw in the theater.
Really?
Yeah,
I
like went with my parents to see it, and I don't remember anything except for the fact that it like really stressed me out.
It's pretty stressful. Yeah, yeah. I remember
and I was
watching
like,
it. Going,
why
like,
would we pay
real.
Money to go see this when we could just have a family holiday? Like this. Why are we doing more of this?
That is weird about it, right? Like you would want it to go in a direction that would be more like. Hilarious or fantastical. It's like, why go
it's
watch something
real.
That you're going to experience anyway?
Yeah.
Because that's my
oh
thing.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. He is wearing a curling sweater. It has the,
oh, really?
The stone on it and the little crust.
I was going to say they're about
this
to reenact.
Curling was cool.
They're about to reenact one of your dropped covers for TV is Dead. They're taking a boat out into the middle of a lake. No shrouds or anything on them, but. This is the criminals, right? They kidnapped the mom.
How much longer is this?
Another 50 minutes.
No. Nay. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, my God, you're not kidding. That was hilarious. I was like, for sure, we're at the 30. We got 30 minutes going here.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, this movie should be 90 minutes.
I truly wish I did not ask that.
So there is a TikTok diner on Route 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty, I don't know, famous.
Apparently one in Canada, too.
I wonder if they're trying to reference that, though, trying to, like, take place.
Hey, we were talking last episode about Washington crossing the Delaware.
We were.
We got Cage crossing the not Delaware.
We were trying to decide if there were ceasefires on Christmas during wartime. And then I remembered Washington sabotaging the British during Christmas.
Yeah, that really only happened like once during World War One.
I called it.
It did happen. Okay.
Everybody has helicopter. Maybe that's Al's rule.
Yeah, because like Nazis don't celebrate Christmas. Like,
yeah, they do.
Really? I didn't thought they were.
Mike,
I didn't think they believed
think
in religion and stuff.
Who do they hate?
Oh. I see.
Oh, no. I
don't know if it would be for that reason alone, Joseph.
But I mean, like, you know.
You make a point. I mean, this got dangerous all of a sudden. This took a guarding test turn all of a sudden with the. But this is what I'm talking about with the older people helping out.
A lot of the traditions that we have Christmas-wise in the United States actually come
from Germany.
Germany.
I thought it was general Scandinavia. I didn't realize it was German-centric.
No, I mean, it's like a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's a lot of Nordic. German, a lot of Nordic, and a lot of English, Irish
before. They're going to lock arms.
Yeah, this is what I was talking about. Oh, yeah, because Krampus himself is German, yeah. Because I remember, because like
and
I
the Christmas
mentioned,
tree.
Yeah.
Tannenbaum.
Because I mentioned my grandma from Norway and stuff, so like those, a lot of the Christmas, like growing up, I didn't only
it's
think
just
Santa
Christmas
Claus
all
wore
the time in Norway.
Well, I knew of Father Christmas as well, and like he didn't have to wear red, and you know, I understood variation in the different types of legends and stuff. And I'm very much into like the Nordic stuff now, more so try to incorporate it this year a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to go put a big sort of Thor on my roof instead of a Santa or anything
like
that.
I don't see why not.
But I could.
So I turned on, we were talking about this last episode, again, this is going to paint my obsession, but I turned on the way up here, tweet notifications for David Ehrlich, because I know that literally any day now, his year-end
is going to drop his video.
Which I watch each obsessively, and he just said, 10 minutes ago, I can't remember another year I'd leave so many great movies off my year-end list, but ranking artists dumb as hell and totally arbitrary, so I just wanted to shout out some of the 2018 movies I liked a lot. I guess these are the ones that did not make his list.
Number one, Venom?
No, but Into the Spider-Verse is on there.
Dude, I hear it's great. Like, I'm hearing crazy good vibes from that so far, so it's making me very happy.
This list, which apparently, I guess, are the ones that are not in the top 25, Bisbee 17, which I don't know, Black Klansman, Blockers, First Man,
Blockers.
Free Solo, Happy as Lazaro, which just hit Netflix yesterday, Hearts Beat Loud, Into the Spider-Verse, Leave No Trace, Like Me.
Damn, I've
Like Me is really weird and good.
Send me that list if you don't mind.
I just retweeted it.
I'm not.
Love After Love, The Miseducation of Cameron Post, Shirkers, Thoroughbreds, Who We Are Now, The World Is Yours.
That's on my top 10.
Zama.
I've watched a lot of movies this year, and I haven't seen a single one of them.
Check out, I think you dig Thoroughbreds.
Thoroughbreds is
yeah,
awesome.
I'm sure I would like a lot of those. I just am bad at watching new movies.
It's tough. Like, last year I kicked ass at the theaters. Like, I went and saw shit I never would have imagined just to go to the movies.
Yeah.
Like, just to be. This year, I fell off hard, but, like, not for lack of trying. It's just the latter half of this year really fell apart.
Really, this, like, so recently, because I had to switch from MoviePass to A-List.
Ugh.
Oh, right.
Like, no, because now, like, there's only two AMCs that are really drivable from me, and one just shows, like, the bigger one has all of the little one in it, basically.
And so I can't
go to the indie theater, really. I could pay for movies, but who would do that?
What a crazy idea.
Well, it's crazy. Like, you came up all the way up here to see Suspiria.
Because Suspiria played nowhere near me.
And then it was gone in a week, so it's a good thing you came up here to see it.
Like, I will drive back up here again for The Favorite. Like, I have a fear.
I really want to see that.
The Favorite's playing in New York.
It's playing in New York right now. I think it'll come for at least a week.
The Draft House is going to show up.
Also, Montclair's got a pretty good little. But that's the thing. I have to drive 30 minutes.
Yeah.
50 minutes or 50 minutes from me.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like, it's been nice, like, that during the holiday season, at least last year and the year before, Garden State's kicked it up, and then the Hawthorne Theater, where my brother lives, which is about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I used to live down the street from that.
What surprised me is that the indie theater by me is showing Roma. Alfonso Cuarón's Roma, but that's going to be on Netflix in 2 weeks.
Oh, I want to see that too.
It's like apparently the best movie of the year.
Really, it's really snowing in this movie.
Really, Mike, we're talking about other movies, not this movie.
Roma. Gotta mark that down too. Well, sure.
I just rewatched Sparrow's Dance, which
I love that movie. Yeah, that's
and
a
I
good
forgot
one.
That Paul Sparks is the guy in there, and I was like, oh, maybe that's why. Like, because it was before I watched House of, or before he was on House of Cards. And before I obviously saw Thoroughbreds, and he's like plays such a douchebag
on
Thoroughbreds.
His range
so
is insane.
Good.
Like
in Sparrow's Dance.
I saw that movie. I've only seen it once, but it really stuck with me because of like not that I'm agoraphobic or anything or anything, but there was a period where I just like was like it's madness outside all the time, mm-hmm. and like I want to spend as much time in a comfortable inside zone mm-hmm. as much as possible, kind of thing. Like I'm pretty much not, you know,
we're all indoor kids.
I am a sometimes outdoor kid.
Well, you're an indoor kid.
You're
an outdoor kid around no other people, though. Is that fair to say?
That actually is extremely fair to say.
Indoor
yeah.
kid plus forest kid.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, when I was that actual kid, though, I spent, like, the only time I'd spend inside is, like, playing video games. 90% of my time was outside running around doing dumb shit, like being a kid. 1800s.
That graveyard, that tombstone is in immaculate condition for being 100 years old.
It
Look
really
how
is.
Clearly we can read all of these letters.
It has no weathering
awkward sex.
On it.
Wait, this is not a sex scene. I also don't like that hat on her.
I love
it. It really frames her face. I think it's great.
Velvet is extremely in this year, so she's like right on trend.
Me of someone today, though. I'm getting another vibe off of her from like an actor like that's this age working now. It's I can't put my finger on it. Caged.
She
bars.
Almost looks like Greta Gerwig, but with brown hair.
Oh, I turned on TV the other day and missed, and not Mistress America. See. Mistress America's great, but Frances Ha was
on. Yeah, I watched like 20 minutes of it.
Like, it's just, like, there's some movies she makes I don't like really at all, but then there's some that she makes I'm just like, I want to live in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, who's the guy she makes, like, her sometimes partner that she makes all the movies? Like, I don't like his movies very much.
One of the Duplass brothers, right?
No.
It's the guy who did Frances Ha.
I thought
that was one of them.
I thought she she wrote that. That was like, but she's in a lot of his movies. I don't like a lot of his movies, but I really
Noah Baumbach.
Noah Baumbach. That's it. Yeah,
they were dating for a while.
Getting through some of his stuff,
yeah,
especially like Greenberg. Like I could not.
God, I hated that movie.
But I love her work. I love her. And when I saw Frances Ha,
Mistress America.
Oh yeah. So, but when I saw Frances Ha, I was like, from now on, like I will watch it, even if it's a Noah movie. Like, I'll watch her in it. Here we are. We have made it, full circle, from the opening in the store. They are in the sleigh, driven by a horse. Good night, folks. That's all I had to get to when it came to this movie.
Well, Mike, we still got another 40 minutes.
Oh,
so.
Crap.
Unless it's the world's longest credits.
Oh, it's his horse. Oh, the guy who fell off it from the beginning. So much is going on. Like, we really didn't need them on the boat.
We have not needed
most of this
any
movie.
Of this.
Dude, the casual gunplay really...
It was a different time.
I know. But, I mean, it's just hilarious that it used to be a joke about how guns are everywhere, and now it's frightening how guns are everywhere. Man, they are flying. You think those are stunt doubles or actually them? It looks like real Dana Carvey.
I don't know.
It's probably stunt cage.
I was listening to the most recent episode, as we're recording this, of The Contenders. They did Whip It.
Yeah.
Island's playing the game of Spot the Stunt Double.
I love that.
Oh, what did I just... There's a... I guess we'll wait till we talk about it in Clueless, but there's a great stunt fake-out kind of thing in that.
Oh, is that the driving test?
No. It's at the end of the wedding.
Okay, yeah. Which, Amy Heckerling, actually...
In the wedding.
She's in the wedding, and she also, like, when they do the bouquet toss, like, they weren't, like, fighting hard enough, so she got in there and started, like, elbowing and pushing people down and stuff.
Yeah, because if you've been to real weddings, like, it is a... pit fight.
I usually leave the room. I'm like, I don't need any
of
this.
The last five
please.
Weddings I've been to, they have not done that, and I've been very thankful.
Really?
I feel like that's a more traditional thing, and I feel like a lot of people...
Every single wedding
A lot more people are like, this is really weird and stupid.
I've only been to one wedding where they did the garter belt, and I was like, I've never...
Every wedding I've ever been to.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like you... I mean, if you're going to family weddings, I feel like your family... being very Italian, it has some sort of more traditional...
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, there's nothing like a New Jersey Italian wedding.
No, I can't even remember my sister's wedding. It was so much fun. I mean, I talked to my brother the other day. I was like, remember Lauren's wedding? He's like, no. I was like, me neither. And we're like, just, oh, it was so great. I mean, I remember it starting, and you know what I'm saying, like, but it's fuzzy.
I just can't handle how loud they are.
Oh, dude. Insane. So I went to my niece and nephew's Sweet 16 last year, and I lasted like 20 minutes because, first of all, it was fucking freezing.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that is
music,
also a problem I have at weddings.
The music decibel, like,
yeah, it's crazy.
9 to 20 times louder than I'm used to. Mm-hmm. And it was like getting hit in the head with a hammer every 2 seconds. I was like, I said to my niece and nephew, my brother, everybody, my entire family was like, I must leave for the sake of everybody's sanity. If you don't want me to go nuts, I must go.
I went to a housewarming party like 2 weeks ago. I talked about this on Too Fast, Too Forever. And it was with like casual friends, like friends of friends who I've seen. This is the third time I've ever hung out with them. Party was their surprise wedding, and I was like,
oh,
why am I here?
What?
And they were, I mean, at least the bride was...
That's like a...
realized how insane it was for me to be there, and she even said, because like, her sister was about to give birth, and so she had to Facebook Live the ceremony.
Oh my goodness.
Ceremony for the living room. And she's like, I almost thought about giving the phone to you because you're so far removed from like...
It's so random,
because I walked into a living room, like the size of your living room.
That's like Nathan for you.
With 30 people in there, and I was like, I don't know... The only people I knew at the party were them. Because my other friends who I knew, who I was getting there around the same time, were like 5 minutes away. I was like, get here fast, I'm getting married. And they did not make it for the wedding. But I was like,
Oh, God, the horse.
Oh, now the horse.
I was like, why am
this
I here?
Is so cool.
That was the last one I went to. No bouquet toss, no bouquet.
That reminds me of like a Nathan For You skit. Like, I had to find...
The ultimate wedding story?
Yeah, because he went... Yeah, that's still one of my favorite... That might be my favorite episode. He's like a master orchestrator. I heard it's not coming back, but when I hear that, I feel like it went out on the perfect note.
Finding Francis?
But
I'm
not
so
only
upset
that,
about
but like
this horse.
I know I'm trying to ignore it because it's bothering me so much. But I'm just,
like,
it was on a stage, is all I can tell myself. Like, this is all with a trainer right off screen, and
I'm having a
cruelty to animals sort of anxiety thing.
No, oh God, I'm coming up with so many other words that aren't the name of this movie.
Oh, now he's fine. He's parked outside. He's parked outside the diner. That's so cute.
The keep wanting to say The Land Before Time,
Black
and it's
Beauty?
Definitely not that. No.
Oh,
and then I
the Neverending Story.
Yes,
when a trail's horse. I forget his name. But
traumatized for life when
too.
I watched that. So now, anytime I see a horse in distress, I'm like, oh no.
I just got on VHS because it doesn't exist on DVD, and I had to get on eBay, The Neverending Story Part 3, which I've never seen. I saw 1 and 2 in theaters. I remember seeing 1 vividly because I was very young, and I was like 7 or 8 when that came out.
That should not be shown to children.
No, but it was cool. I think it's helped spark my love of like fantasy, though. You know what I mean? Like, before that movie, I really had not
had a dose. Maybe that's why I don't like fantasy. I just saw it at the wrong
time.
Well,
it's also very sort of like young boy-centric, too.
That's
kind
true.
Of, I feel, unfairly to a degree. Although, Atreyu, I mean, he's kind of got like that androgynous boy look to him, so it could go either way, I guess. That is a... apparently, the book is quite... They took like very few parts of the book to make that first movie.
Oh, interesting.
But it's like a very famous German folktale now. Like, even though it's not a very old book, it has become very famous. But that pattern of plaid on his scarf looks like, I feel like I've had that pattern before. It feels very classic, like I got it from L.L. Bean or something.
Look at that sweater.
Wow.
Looks like an Afghan.
Yeah, I've been admiring it.
It is just... Wardrobe game is on point in this movie.
Both movies, last two movies.
Yeah.
Why don't movies look like this anymore?
It's because most of them are digital. I feel like I honestly believe, and just the different processes of
when you say filming. Look like this, what do you
mean? I mean, like, look and feel, and like, why aren't movies like this anymore?
I need to be more specific about that. What do
no,
you mean?
No, but I mean, like, the film versus digital for sure, but it's also like.
Just, the type of story it is.
It feels, it feels like there's more care paid to these. Like, it's not necessarily better movie, but
there used to be more steps to making a movie. There used to have to go jump through more hoops and take more care and time. Whereas now you could literally just run and gun like any movie if you had to.
Kara, why don't movies look like this?
Like, you could almost feel like movies are rushing through themselves when you watch them sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, well, I actually have a hard time with the, like, how fast the cuts are in a lot of modern movies. It hurts my brain.
That's what I was actually excited about. The whole, like, next year that we're going to do, Mike, for the most part.
Oh, the early Tom Hanks
stuff? It's going to be all 80s and 90s.
It's going to be so good, dude. I am so happy. Just on the Hanks side, like, I'm happy about Cruise, don't get me wrong, but I've seen a lot more of the Hanks stuff in the early years, and it's, like, much more on, like, the comedic side, and it's just, it makes me so happy. Like, Volunteer, like, John Candy. Dude, Adrian Zemed, who probably doesn't ring a bell to you.
Nope.
But was a Grease 2.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
he was in Chips. He was Shatner's partner in Chips. When I was a kid, the guy was, like, an idol. I wanted to have a band recently called Bring Me the Head of Adrian Zemed. I think that'd be a great band name. But he's awesome in Bachelor Party. Like, they're just like John Candy again in Splash. Like,
which Carol will be on.
Remember that he was in
so
that.
So good. Daryl Hannah. Yeah, they play brothers.
So by the end of next year, we will still be in 95 for Hanks.
Whoa.
And we'll be in 2004 for Cruise.
We're barely cracking Forrest Gump. That came out in, like, 94, I think. So, like, that'll be next Christmas.
We end next year with Toy Story.
Howdy, partner. There's a snake in my boot.
I can't wait to do... You know Keanu Reeves is in Toy Story
4. I was just about to say that, yeah.
I hope he plays that fork toy thing. Like, I think part of the thing takes place at a carnival, but also part of Toy Story is, like, making... Like, anything can be a toy. So, like, in the trailer, there's, like, a spork with yarn on it. So, like, if you just play
with that...
Apparently
he has an edgy character, is what I've been seeing.
Maybe he's a carny at the carnival.
Maybe. Yeah, that would be an interesting
role for him.
Because the
Key & Peele trailer takes place at, like, a carnival stand.
Maybe he plays the Dream again. He just takes his character from...
Is that the cult leader?
Yeah, from The Bad Batch.
I haven't seen that, but I remember the episode that you talked
watching
about.
That, if you ever watch it, just... I fucking love that movie, and Joey just thinks it's okay.
No. I really liked it, and then when you were like, it's my favorite movie of the year,
it was my favorite movie.
Hold on, we need to reel this in, because it is.
Yeah, I overlove that movie.
But I also saw it before. I saw it at Fantastic Fest.
Yeah, and I saw it at home.
And
almost
I was
a year later.
And I saw it with Anna Lily Amirpour was there for an intro or Q&A or
which,
something.
Which, she's got to make something new soon. Hope she comes out with a new movie soon.
Didn't she announce something, or no?
Yes, she did. Yeah, you're right, because the casting got us excited. But I can't recall what it
is. Didn't you say this movie was going to be shorter?
Well, you know what? He's also like, why aren't there more movies like this? And it's taking forever.
It's horrible.
And did one episode of Castle Rock?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's where I heard
Yeah, she did.
That's perfect. Oh, she did the Sissy Spacek episode.
No, I don't think it was that one.
I think it's the fire, the one where he sets the house.
Episode 8.
It's newcomers. The one, like, right
oh,
before
the,
or right
oh,
after.
Oh, it's the one where Jackie Torrance goes to the bed and breakfast.
The bed and breakfast. Okay. I like that episode. I love the bed and breakfast people.
Yeah, you like all the episodes, Mike.
I want a show about that bed and breakfast.
That episode took a right turn for a
Blood Moon, a girl with unusual powers escapes from a mental asylum and tries to make it on her own in New Orleans, starring Zac Efron and Kate Hudson and Craig Robinson.
Interesting.
Wow. Fuck yeah, Anna Lily.
That's what it is.
Anna Lily Pad.
I like vampire movies, but I like even more when they're like, because she already did a vampire film. Mm-hmm. She did A Girl Walks Home Alone at Dark at Night. But John Landis did a female vampire movie that kicks ass, too.
What is it called?
I can't right now. My mind is in
a weird
million different
movies. I can't right now.
No, my mind. But I should because...
that is the title of my forthcoming memoir.
Because I love him, and this is one of like the harder... Not the harder to find, but it's like one of the more expensive.
Innocent Blood?
Yes.
Starring Anne Pario. Then Robert Loggia.
Yeah, that's the one.
And Don Rickles.
And who's the main guy in that? There's a pretty... he looks like Andy Garcia almost. He's like
Chaz Palminteri?
No, no.
Anthony LaPaglia?
Yeah. That's him.
Ooh, Angela Bassett's in it.
Yeah, it's good. I'm telling you, it's good. It's like about this female vampire and a...
I mean, that you had me a female vampire.
So the cop is like the
honestly,
detective.
You had her a female, really.
The detective is on the case of the murders that she's perpetrating.
Sam Raimi and Dario Argento are in this.
Yeah, they cameo.
Wow.
In it?
Sam
and
Raimi.
Tom Savini.
Sam Raimi cameoed also.
Frank Oz.
Sam Raimi and Joel Cohen are in Spies Like Us, which is also a John Landis movie. They cameo. They are security guards at the missile institute.
Well,
it's
spies.
Like a hidden. Well, it's like a hidden
like
silo.
Us.
What's a dick for?
Did you watch Phenomena?
The
80s horror movie?
Oh, no, not yet. No, I gotta get to
I
that
left
still.
You. Last time I left you, you were like, I'm gonna watch it tonight.
I know, and I didn't watch it that night. Wait, but that was the day we saw Suspiria and stuff, and like, there's no way I was packing that in.
Yeah, that's a long time.
But I did. I was like very hype. I was like, Dario, I'm on a
maybe
Argento
it's,
high.
Maybe it's tomorrow or whatever. Whatever you're gonna say. But...
Yeah, I lost track. Oh, and I didn't know that Tilda played Mother Marcos.
We talked about that.
No, we talked about playing the old man.
Well, she, no, because it's the same thing. We found out that she plays the
okay,
old man.
Okay, I forgot
too.
We talked about that. But yeah.
I saw Tom. I was saying in the last episode, I saw Tom York on Tuesday, and he closed. His second encore was the song Unmade from Suspiria. Which
cool.
Was,
I still haven't seen it.
Have you heard the music?
It'll be on Amazon probably by Christmas because
yeah, that's what I
it's out of theaters. And
the runtime on it was just prohibitively
it's an
long
Amazon,
for me to see something in a theater.
It's an Amazon film, so I figured it'll go right up there.
I don't know if by Christmas, but definitely soon.
Yeah, soon.
Soon, you're a balloon. You know where that's from?
No, but it sounds familiar.
It's from Operation Hell on Earth.
Okay,
you know what that's from?
Don't know that.
It's the Mr. Show sketch where they're trying to realign the United States to make everybody happy.
Oh. I don't remember that.
And then they're trying to like. Right then now. They have the end of the. They have like their end of the world, like the apocalypse. Like they're going to like cause destruction. Then it just becomes we're going to send a van out to the middle of the desert where there's nobody around to play Billy Ocean's songs at like moderate volume to make sure that no one is offended.
I don't remember that, but I'm remembering we're going to blow up the moon, the telethon to blow up the moon or not to blow up the moon.
Oh yeah. So many of those sketches, that, like including that one, became like things that actual politicians talked about. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Blowing up the moon.
Dana Carvey's hat. It's
yep.
Great.
I feel like David Carvey could go through this entire movie. I feel like he probably does, but like without saying
without
much
saying
at
a
all.
Word.
Yeah.
And then when he does talk, he sounds like Mickey Rourke.
Yeah.
And he gets told to shut up.
I love the diversity of hats just in this one shot. You get Cage with the furry fur
yeah.
Trapper hat. You get John Lovitz in some sort of
yeah, this is... Oh, this is these are the hats for the the cover hats.
Oh,
wait,
right.
Wait.
We've reached DVD cover singularity.
They seem to have shrank
look at the hat Jenkins
Dana
playing
Carvey's
hat right now.
Hat, though.
He's playing with... Look at him at this
so
hat
that they
game.
Fit in
hat
small game town
his
big
hat
trouble.
Game is strong.
Interesting.
Hat game on point. Or as the kids say, on fleek.
Oh, is that what that means?
Are they still saying that?
Probably not. If I know about it, probably not.
It's very shway. They're saying that yet?
Is that what?
I don't know. That's what the Flash's daughter from the future calls everything, so.
Interesting.
I only made it two episodes into this season, and then we were like, its best days are behind it.
Wow.
Except for this crossover thing with Batwoman.
I remember a time where we had to pause recording
yes,
until 9:05
right.
So that you could watch The Flash live.
There was a time. That's right. The last 2 years.
And now you can't even watch it.
Well, it's not that I can't watch it, but it's just like I feel like it's run its course. Mm. Pun intended.
Well, that's also, I mean, you know, friend of the show, Melissa Lynham, was all about those shows and then like gave up, bailed on Arrow because Arrow got bad.
I was big on Arrow until The Flash came around, then I bailed on Arrow and started watching Flash, and now I'm just waiting for this last crossover and I think I'm going to say goodbye for
like, it. I want to watch those, but also the promise of being, or the idea of being like 12 seasons behind of 20 hours per season, it's like,
yeah.
Like collectively between Flash and Arrow and Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow, it's just like, oh, this doesn't
well,
seem
that was like, yeah,
doable.
Like... That was just like one of those clockwork shows that I would catch on TV, and we'd watch it together and stuff too. So like, just something.
My dad loves all of them. I think he still watches all of them because he just loves all things DC.
I feel like maybe I haven't really heard anything that actually happens in this movie, so I don't know what the script is like, but I feel
this
like
this movie that we're watching.
I feel like
just to clarify,
they had the hats first and then retrofitted a script around the hats.
I think they found a box of hats like this could be a movie.
Yeah. I think the director was like, enough with the goddamn hats, I'm out of here, and everyone else was like, what's his fucking problem, man? These hats rule, like more hats if anything.
These hats are the best thing in the movie.
That guy kind of has a Fred Armisen vibe to him.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. And this guy's been in stuff. I mean, they've all been in stuff, but he reminds me of somebody that I'm not going to be able to track down.
Did you figure out who Matt Janamick reminds you of?
No. Oh, yes, I did. And I realized it was intentional, and we mentioned the movie earlier, but the waitress from Baby Driver.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it was sort of intentional. He was looking for someone that looked like a Twin Peaks girl.
Lily James? No.
I don't recall.
Lily James.
Yeah.
Because so Lily Collins is the other one.
That's who I'm thinking of.
This license plate says, duh, 171.
Oh, vanity plates. There's another thing from The Good Place. If you have a vanity plate, you're automatically going to the bad place. It's like the first question on the list. Like, did
my
you
favorite
have a vanity
thing is
plate?
Like trying to decipher them when I see them, because some of them are just so weird, and I'm like, I don't even know what that says.
I saw one on the way up here, because I think I got half of it. So it's GRNOEN. So it was almost like green one, but wasn't.
Well, sometimes I have to, you know, like abbreviate, so I would say green one.
But O-E-N, not O-N-E?
Oh.
O-E-N.
Grinowin? Yeah, I don't know.
Could be the last name.
Grinowin?
Okay, so here I feel, this is a classic. I saw this one a couple weeks ago. Right at the farmer's market. I think I sent this to you.
Yes, you did.
How committed they were. He's there. This guy must shop at the liquor store a lot because I was at the big farmer market around the corner.
Let's think about it for a second. If you have a vanity plate that says Kid Rock, do you think you drink a lot?
He probably works at the liquor store.
He probably works at the liquor store. You're right. This is the weirdest liquor store, too. Like, a few years ago, they turned the back into, like, a half bar. So you could, like,
buy
your beer and go sit in the back and drink
There were a couple of those in, like, Hawthorne and Fairlawn.
Okay. It's kind of weird.
It's very weird. Yeah.
Especially since there's a bar right around the corner, too.
Well, because the only people that drink at those bars are weird people.
Yeah, local bums and stuff. That's why I've never been to the bar in my town once, because it is kind of scary looking. It seems like a complete and total dive in one of the worst ways.
The lighting in this movie I find really fascinating. Everything is so much brighter than I imagine it would be.
There is a there's sort of like a, I don't want to call it a rule, but like some comedic directors follow a certain lighting rule where you want it to be brighter.
Oh yeah, this is the, I remember this, where everyone in the movie is in this room now.
Like Barry Sonnenfeld used to have a rule about shooting his comedies. Super wide lenses, talk as fast as you can, and make it as bright as possible. And he says those are his three rules to comedy.
I mean, all three things are very funny.
If you watch Men in Black, though, like, they fucking talk like Micro Machine Men in that movie. It is hilarious. Like, Tommy Lee Jones talking really fast to Will Smith, like, got me laughing.
Well, I guess also, like, the lighting in this is part of why it looks the way it does, which is what you were saying before.
Yep. Yeah.
Because so many cinematographers now are like, I'm the king of darkness.
You know what's crazy, and we'll talk about it on Clueless, is Bill Pope shot Clueless. He shot the fucking Matrix.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like,
I was going to be like, you guys, did you happen to notice who shot this?
No, because I never do, because I'm a bad movie watcher.
I only know his name, too, because Edgar Wright sort of took him and he's shot every Edgar Wright film since Shaun of the Dead. Mm. So, Hot Fuzz.
Shaun of the Dead, now on Netflix.
It's cool.
I follow a new site. This is where we're at in this movie. I feel like I can tell you about the Netflix site that I'm following.
What's on Netflix and what's not?
I don't remember what it's called, but it tells you what comes and what goes. But it's like it's an RSS feed, so I'm able to just see.
What movie is it? He's in the RSS feeds. Man of Steel, when Zod comes to Earth. He, like, takes a... Like, the girl at the Daily Planet is like, he's in all the RSS feeds. He's taking over.
Oh, boy.
And it, like, so what? Like...
Oh, boy.
He's also on every fucking television across the planet in every language.
Oh, you know who the cinematographer on this is? Jack N. Green, who shot Serenity.
Oh, and I never watched Twister. Never watched
That's
Serenity.
A real good movie.
Is it?
Well, I mean, they
it's
just
pretty good.
On
I mean, if you
wait the Joss Whedon,
if you love Firefly,
I've never seen it.
It's an amazing ending of Firefly. Yeah.
I actually tried to watch the first
episode.
Well, Mike,
you can watch Firefly now on Facebook.
I watched the... Oh, really? I watched the first episode. I thought it was cool. Then every episode after that, I made it through two more, and they annoyed the shit out of me. So I was like, I can't go back to
this
show.
Yeah, I can see how that would happen.
Facebook just bought the rights to stream Buffy, Angel, and Firefly.
Oh. I never saw Buffy either. I watched the movie, and I loved it. But I saw I saw three or four episodes. I liked what I saw.
It's excellent. It's so good. Oh my god, he also shot Speed 2.
Uh-oh, Cruise Control?
Your favorite movie.
Yeah.
Bookcast.
Wait, no, you like that more than George.
Oh my god, he also shot The Net!
Oh no! Dennis Miller, get away,
crazy.
Sandra Bullock in your bad computer.
Oh wow.
He is your cinematographer, that's what that means.
That is not an especially good-looking movie, though, The Net. Like,
The Net,
that,
no.
From what I recall,
it's the guy who shot this,
very
shot
drab.
The Net.
Yeah, yeah. It is very drab. Like, there's one scene where she's on a beach, like, on her computer, and it is, like, overcast, and, like, you would not want to be on that beach. And then the rest of the movie takes place at night, so it's not very well lit, but...
I wonder...
Oh, he was camera operator on both Pretty in Pink and Rocky IV.
Ooh. Rocky IV. Ooh. Sorry, that's a little more significant to me than Pretty in Pink, but...
I'm going to look, because I'm just thinking now of basically the opposite of an overcast beach is, in my opinion, the like setting sun sky battle in Jupiter Ascending.
Oh, God.
And I was like, who shot John Tolt? Don't say, oh, God. That's one of my favorite
no,
movies.
No, well, the setting sun sky battle in Jupiter Ascending takes place on Jupiter, right?
That takes place in Chicago.
Oh, that setting sun sky. I thought you meant at the end of the movie. I was like, they're in the planet. They're at the core of the gas giant Jupiter, my friend. Which I think that kicks ass, the idea that there's a secret human sort of essence manufacturing plant in the heart of Jupiter, a gas giant. Like, that is just so batshit crazy. I can't help but love it.
Oh, but this guy named John Toll shot all of Sense8, which all looks beautiful. Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk.
Didn't see.
Iron Man 3.
Okay.
Cloud Atlas. Right. The Odd Life of Timothy Green, which is a surprisingly good movie.
Is that with the plant
Jennifer
boy?
Garner, yeah.
Oh, and he's like a plant boy. I haven't seen it, but it looks cute.
Good.
He is Groot.
Okay.
Adjustment Bureau.
Oh, okay.
It's complicated. Tropic Thunder.
Wait. Adjustment Bureau, not Humanity Bureau.
Yeah, the good one.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
The better looking one.
Gone
Baby Gone. Elizabethtown. The Last Samurai, Vanilla Sky, Captain Corelli's Mandolin, this guy, no, not this guy. Sorry, I forgot what we were doing for a second. Almost Famous, Thin Red Line, Braveheart.
I'm so afraid to watch Almost Famous again, because I know that as an adult woman, I'm going to be like, oh, God.
But just keep telling yourself, it was the 70s. It was the 70s.
On the P.S. I Still Love Hoffman ballot, did you vote for what movie they're going to watch for the year Revisited?
Shula.
No.
You should read today's newsletter.
I requested two on my episode of Vacation, Christmas Vacation, and Brian's like, yeah, those are probably the last two we're ever going to get around to. I was like, well, you know my vote.
You requested two. Which ones do you request?
Schuller, which was the one with the
weird German
the
one?
The weird German.
Is that the one they couldn't find?
No, well, they found a copy, but it was someone reading the subtitles another language over it or something. And then the other one was Money for Nothing, which he's barely in, which is
jail.
John Cusack and Benicio del Toro. Yes, he's handcuffed. He's in jail.
Bingo.
Mike, give us timestamp.
Timestamp is 1:37. Wow. That's like arduous bingo.
The longest movie I've ever seen. That's not true. But
well, it's up there, though. It's
and considering I refuse to watch movies that are longer than 2 hours, it is quite up there.
It's really pushing the upper limit of
my tolerance. Love that jacket.
Take it to the limit. So wait.
A Three Wise Men.
Oh, we should do one of these with Clueless where I just point out all the good outfits.
You just wouldn't stop pointing.
Basically.
We could put it on while we record and then you could just like stop and go, wait a minute, outfit alert.
No, I feel like
it would be every 2 seconds.
There's not going to be. Well, I mean, we'll figure it out. But I was reading on IMDb that the there's a little bit of advanced trivia that the costume budget for that was surprisingly low.
I have. Don't worry, we'll get to it.
Except for the yellow plaid one was expensive, apparently.
Yeah, it was Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Very nice.
It was the most expensive outfit in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
However, in that scene, and I'll say this again, but in that scene where she's wearing the yellow schoolgirl outfit and Dion's wearing the black, white, and red one, Mona May designed the black and white one from scratch.
I don't know who Mona May is.
Oh, you'll find out.
Cool.
I just know that, and I'll bring this up, that there, I noticed the movie takes place in the 90s, and mm-hmm. that grunge plaid look was very in the 90s fashion, mm-hmm. and there is a shitload of plaid.
I have.
And Clueless, so we will get back to
numbers
it.
Numbers on that, too.
I think this is going to be a episode, coming again Monday to Cinemakers, where Kara just talks, not really at us, but at us, and
that's
we're like,
okay.
we'll be switching positions then.
She's running the show.
I'm just kidding. Wow. You talk a lot. I don't. What?
Wow.
No, I got it. Like, yeah.
I rescind.
I'm not offended. I take it back. No, but I am very excited because I realize that every scene in that movie is perfect.
It is truly a perfect movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean,
except
listen,
for the one used to the.
I'll get into my little issue with the Boston's, but I'll save it.
Okay.
I will save it.
Is it a real big fish?
No, it's the Mighty Boston's.
And. Oh my god.
I've read a whole book about this movie, and I think there's an entire chapter
just
about
on
the Boston's.
The Boston's and how they got there, because I would love to read that chapter.
Well, so there's actually, I think, I have to look it up.
Because to my friends and myself at that time, when that happened, that moment, we were like, oh, so this is exactly when and how it means to sell out. You fucking sell out pieces of shit. I mean, I've since grown up and gotten out of that, but
them.
No, I was mad at them for selling out like that. Yeah. Like, for some reason, I didn't give a shit when Green Day sold out as hard as they did, but I was like, when Boston sold out, I was you bastards.
The book began as a piece for Vulture that was an oral history of the Clueless party scene, and I couldn't remember if it was the Christmas party or that party.
Okay.
But she does have a chapter in the book about the Boston party.
I mean, Dickie has eventually gone on to lead the band on Jimmy Kimmel's show. He's the Jimmy Kimmel announcer. That's Dickie Barrett.
I don't think I've
ever seen an episode of Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, me neither.
Really?
I've seen like clips of it of his shows and stuff.
Damon every night.
I mean, I don't watch him regularly, but
I'm just not like
him
a late night talk show.
I'm more of a Conan guy anyway.
I used to be, and I'm like, what am I doing with my life?
Oh, I used to watch Conan religiously.
Every morning, I would record like Conan and like the Pete Holmes show when that was on. And at midnight, and I would watch all of them in the morning. I was like, why am I wasting 2 hours every morning, like, while I'm, you know, either working or doing whatever? Like, I could be watching literally anything else.
Yeah, those shows are designed for the end of the night when you're falling asleep, like, in bed, about to wind
down. All I wanted to see was, like, pretty celebrities in dresses.
But, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I even remember watching Letterman before he got late night. Like, he was after Carson, and, I mean, like, I don't know. I'm too old. That's all. But, like... You know, Conan in high school, like, I would stay up to 1:30 just to watch Conan, because he would come out at 12:30. And that's why my grades suffered as a junior.
It's a Christmas miracle.
That guy looks like Thomas Jane a little bit. The guy to the left, looking, like, kind of disheveled. Anyway.
The guy behind Matchin?
So many good jackets.
Which guy, Mike? The guy behind Matchin?
Yeah, in the reverse shot. I'll try
he looks like Michael Keaton.
Again. Mm. Oh, a little bit of a... You know what he looks like? Michael
Loaded Beetlejuice.
He looks like Michael Keaton from the Keanu... What was the Much Ado About Nothing? Remember where Michael Keaton was like the groundskeeper? And he was like all insane and everything? You don't remember that?
No.
Oh my god. From Much Ado About Nothing?
I remember them riding up the hill on horseback. Great.
Oh, that whole Hey Nani Nani, you don't remember Kenneth Branagh joyfully just like prancing in he's like in a pond because he's so in love and he's just
that.
Like in a pond.
I don't remember Michael Keaton.
Yeah, Michael Keaton was like the groundskeeper. I remember, and they caught the guy and they're like, he like talks like this. And he's like, pardon the ice, sir. And he's like all graggly and everything.
No.
Oh man, yeah, he's like vanishes in that role.
What if that actually doesn't happen in that movie?
No, it happened. Believe me. Believe you me. Look it up now.
I mean, I believe you, but
no, because even Tobin was like, "Oh my god, like Michael Keaton's unrecognizable," because he was
that's one of Tobin's like five favorite movies.
Well, I know. Well, that's why I thought you'd remember more about it, is just because of how like
no, because that episode was you guys gushing about it. I was like, "I like this movie, but I'm more interested to listen to you two talk about it than like be a part of it."
Hey, Nani Nani.
Yeah, we found out very early on in Keanu Club that like two of Tobin's like five or ten favorite movies are both Keanu movies. Where he's,
what's the other one?
What is the other one?
Is it Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey? Because
no,
it's
no, it's
choice.
Something more like something.
It's something.
Like
it's basically Much Ado About
Idaho
Nothing
or something.
Mm. What was the other one? Oh yeah, it's Knock Knock. Just kidding, it's not Knock
Free
Knock.
Free pizza.
It was free fucking pizza.
I'm gonna go to the bathroom. I'm sure I won't miss anything.
But you're gonna miss so much.
That's the bathroom, right?
Yeah.
Dangerous Liaisons.
Oh,
okay,
right.
Can you mute the mic?
Dangerous Liaisons. That's correct. Yeah.
Le Fablu. Whatever.
These headsets do not work with my
haircut. Should have gone with a mullet.
Kara's saying how these new headsets don't work with her new haircut.
And I said, should have gone with a mullet, but that was on mic, so you heard that twice now. Look at that outfit.
Yeah, tiger.
It's like a red tiger.
Well, I was lusting after that jacket before. It's fantastic.
Kara's saying how much she loves this jacket. She's not on mic yet at the moment.
So here we are.
Oh, so one light's out here, and then the other light is up there.
What a journey through the bathrooms of Mike Manzi's house. Audio diary. She like imagine there. I like her there.
That
I don't
turtleneck.
Know why. You know, I don't know why she's not.
That opening shot of her, I could understand. Her outfit wasn't designed to be flattering per se. You know,
I feel
she
like
was very much in business mode.
I feel like what they tried to do with her in this movie, and that's not a bad thing, is that they should have maybe cast an older woman.
Yes, they tried to make her more conservative and older than I think she can. Than
like
she's used to playing.
She's probably like 28 here, and they probably should have cast someone like 35, maybe. You know what I mean? Like somebody.
Yeah, someone more closer to Cage's age.
Well, I mean, he's 30, and she's probably 28, right? So maybe she's not even that old.
I don't know. I don't know. I do feel like I love her, but it is a bit of a, maybe a miscast. Like, I don't know. It just seems like something like Bridget Fonda would do.
Great eyebrows, though. Kara, great eyebrows on Madgen. We didn't talk about that, but great eyebrows. In what episode? Kara's saying that they talked about her eyebrows on Whistle Thinking. Because Jordan loves Twin Peaks, so maybe, yeah. Mmm. Jordan said that she has eyebrows that shoot fire, I think was what it was.
Admire.
Oh, admired.
A little bit of telephone going on.
Oh. Jealous of both of them now. For kissing each other.
Oh, Dana Carvey, the klepto. Oh, and he's putting the hat, oh, because that's where it belongs.
What a comedy.
Go out on a laugh.
They're still kissing.
Paradise Theater.
Take me down to the Paradise City. Where
no theater playing this would be called Paradise Theater.
I don't think this is a bad movie.
I think it's too long.
Definitely too long.
No, it has the holiday spirit. It definitely is a Christmas movie. Like, through and through.
True and true.
Like, not, you know, in the sense that, like, it's about the Christmas spirit and all that kind of thing. It's not just, like, Die Hard that uses the setting. Although, I guess you could, I guess,
come
know.
To paradise, have a few laughs. 100 grand bars?
Payday. No, paydays.
Oh, payday. Because
they're, you know, they're getting paid. Hey. Hey, yo, hey, this is my impression of Dana Carvey doing an impression. Hey, yo.
And there they go. Cage, stay in paradise, where he's truly in paradise with the beautiful magic.
He's trapped
hammock.
Forever now. Bill Furpo.
The Furpo Bros.
Furp Bros.
Where's my girl? What was her name in this movie? Oh, Sarah geez. Collins.
Oh, so close to Sarah Connor.
We'll come back.
looks really good. I've only seen the one picture, but I'm excited.
Wait, what movie?
New Terminator, because Linda Hamilton's back. And
wait, did I know this was a thing? Put your headset on.
Yeah, the girl is the girl from... Oh, she's in so much stuff. And
Will
I just...
Halt Catch Fire? Mackenzie Davis?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's the new Terminator.
She looks so jacked.
It looks good, man. And that's... I think I'll do my T3 episode around that time.
When is that coming out? Why did
November?
I not even know that existed?
I don't know, man, because the dude who did Deadpool is directing it. No, Danny's... No, they're doing the OG timeline. So this takes place after T2.
Yeah, but, like, I like Genesis.
Well, I like Genesis, too. I like T3 a little bit. I mean, like, there's nothing... It's not a broken franchise. Like, there is a way to course correct
it. Terminator? What's it called?
It's untitled right now.
Untitled Terminator Reboot. All right, Mike. You want to fast forward through these?
Oh, right. We're at credits here.
Arnold, Mackenzie Davis, Linda Hamilton, Stephen Cree. Who else do I know in this movie? Anybody even know?
There's a Greens person who was credited in this movie.
Greens or Greens?
Greens, like as a greenskeeper.
As in Dr. Greens.
That's right.
And there's no one in the Clueless credits.
Oh.
And I was curious because there are a lot of flowers.
Huh. There's a great moment where she walks into her dad's office and takes a lemon from the lemon tree.
I know. I wanted to do that my entire life.
I never caught that until the recent viewing.
Directed by Tim Miller, did the first Deadpool.
Yes, yeah. All right, no more credits, no nothing.
Screenplay by David S. Goyer, your buddy.
That's my homeboy. Just kidding.
All right, we'll see you next year.